There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to fit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick's wigger bitch. Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggin' fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNN. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miss Goobin' Little Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mom that nigger and East Molester, a pisser, pooping possum, Chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this message is aimed mainly to the remnant, to the found sheep, or the ones who are even looking, of the house of Israel. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, who Christ called and who did answer, who did listen. Greetings. Now this is the Movement Turd, episode number 91.5, and the chat for it was on Thursday, October 13th, 2011, and it extended over a number of hours in various segments, and I put all the segments together about, today is on the 17th, but initially it was live on the 13th of October. And the title of it is, Don't You Have to Be a Jew in Order to Get Crohn's? Jew Ascades? You used to call it Jew Ass Cancer, but it's actually more like Jew Ascades. Because what it is, it's an immunological. It has to do with the Jew immune system. Literally, in dual seed line Christian identity, deep woods, orthodox belief. When Satan ended up having sex with Eve and creating the very world's very first Jew, the world's very first Bolshevik, Cain, the world's very first murderer, the very world's very first emperor, as we know today, of Cain, Sargon the Great. What Satan did by having sex with a female Adamite was among the males, especially the males, is that the Jew bloodline goes ahead and it poisons especially the males, not so much the females, but mainly the males. And every so often a Jewess has to go ahead and, you know, look unlike a Jewess, has to look real cute, has to be a sort of whore, has to be a sort of Esther Kikus, like we call her, after the original Esther, who essentially sucked King Xerxes' brains out and encouraged him to protect, you know, to go against his own people who didn't like what these dirty Jews who had been brought in were doing. And as a result, she went ahead and sucked his brains out, his pecker, and pretty well acted like a sort of Astrakakis. She was the original Astrakakis. What she did is that she goes ahead and she stabilizes. She stabilizes, with her brood, the bloodline between the spawn of Satan, Ikor, and the Adamite, true men aspect here. So she goes ahead, she continues the Jew bloodline, lest it goes ahead and forms all these, dangerous diseases to where the satanic Ikor goes ahead and pools, especially in the males, to where little Jewets no longer, they just go ahead and die. Now, schizophrenia started out as a Jew disease. It's sort of gone ahead and spread, and so is Crohn's. And if you end up having Crohn's, essentially you have a kike in your genetic woodpile. That immunology, it's sort of like, I called it ass cancer, but now I'm going to call it Jew ascades. Because your Jew DNA is literally rejecting your guts. Sort of like King Herod, who went ahead and died of a similar thing, and people didn't really know what it was. Well, we are coming to the end days, and these Jews, more and more and more, are getting this Jew disease, which is known as Crohn's. Now, Russ, I'll go ahead and on this show talk with Russ Walker, and he never heard of Crohn's before I went ahead and mentioned it. I said, well, there's no reason you should think or worry about Crohn's any more than you should worry about getting AIDS. You don't have a Jew in your woodpile, so you're not, it's not going to, come up in your family tree. But during the last 2-3 weeks, it's been revealed by Legal Mamzer 2012 Johns that he has Crohn's. And then he went ahead and implicated Command Dork McFag, McBragg, Steve Elder, who hangs around Covington's Northwest Front, that he had Crohn's and that he helped his fellow Jew, Legal Mamzer. And folks, Legal Mamzer in, Saturday night show was talking with another supporter. He's over on Finkelschini's, Rabbi Finkelschini's, and pretty well another supporter of Finkelschini's, Don Brown, not Don Black, revealed that his wife had Crohn's. She is Jew ascades too. And essentially what they did is, here you are listening to all the little, mainly Mamzertards. I don't think there's hardly any Wiggers over at Finkelschini's. It's all just Jews and Mamzers. With a few Wiggers like Matt Twatzog Bott, whose daddy was a federal agent here, and he's just a drunken criminal who spends much time in jail thinking that, since he's the son of a pig and supposedly a Zogbot, he can go ahead and drink and drive all he wants, and then he goes to prison for it. But essentially, you have all these people just going ahead and looking, and you have Legal Mamzer saying that he wish he had full-fledged colon cancer instead of Crohn's. Because, he probably faced, when he was 16 or 17, the realization that he was a Jew. And his daddy, Dan Johns, has pretty well clamped down on that. He's just another Jew trying to get in Christian dandy. But, folks, when you want to be a crypto Jew or a secret Jew or a Marino Jew, even though Marino is usually referred to Sephardics, and these Jews which end up having the Crohn's are Ashkenazi Jews, although some Sephardics get it. And the reason they get it is that there is, Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazi Jews in many ways, they share the same ancestor, i.e. Cain. The Sephardic Jews have a little more Adamic blood in them through Esau. And through Canaan, through Ham. As opposed to essentially being a relatively pure-blooded Jew through Cain, who didn't go ahead and get flooded in there. But increasingly, it's turned out, is not only to show their countenance, it's their bungholes which are telling on these Jews. Now, Alex Linder has Crohn's as well. that indicates he's a Jew. Although a lot of people said by his behavior, by the way he looked, the way he acted, you know, his hatred of Christianity, and his special hatred of Christianity. Well, everybody should have known that old Alex Linder was a Jew. But getting, you know, pretty well, looking at, looking at it now, this has sort of come up here within the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, McFag has kept on denying, oh, it's just heartburn, it's just heartburn, it's just heartburn. Well, no, legal mams are pretty well told on you. I mean, it's well known that you have Crohn's, McFag. I mean, you're just simply a delusional liar. But here's Legal Mamzer and Don Brown talking about Crohn's disease, how he has a flare-up, how he's just a poor, pitiful little kikelet with only $400 left, and he has to avoid wheat, he has to avoid, you know, gluten, he has to avoid all this stuff. Well, folks, you have these Jews in these end days, these little hidden Jews, and their bungholes are telling on because, you know, they get these pains. If they don't take care of these pains here, they'll be in agony. And some of them will die of a, you know, of peritonitis. So folks, I am pleased. I mean, you know, unlike these Finkelsteinies who are whining about poor little Legal Mamzer, you know, 2012, you gotta laugh at all these characters whining about Jews. One like Rabbi Finkelstein, you know, Fink's a Jew name. They are Jews. If they're not Jews, they're serving Jews. Essentially, what they are is they're secret Jews who have come in to dual seed line Christian identity, and they're trying to destroy dual seed line Christian identity. And the only fight, like between Finkelstein and Eli James, is a fight between the Ashkenazi Jew and the Sephardic Jew. That's the only real fight. That's the only real fight. Also, later on, well, what are we going to do about this? And the answer, what to do about it, is essentially reveal that these Jews are Jews. And do not worry about what I call the wandering mamzers of Wikipedia-talks-Jew-Christian-identity. Folks, anybody who wants to go ahead and look can look at, you know, Crohn's. Can look at Crohn's disease, find out it's a Jewish genetic disease. They can go ahead and look up Ashkenazi. They can go ahead and look up Sephardic. They can go ahead and find out for themselves if they wish. The fact that they are still hanging around Eli James or Finkelstein and indulging in either one of the two games. Eli James tries to go ahead and change Christian identity into a more tolerant, into a more, you know, let's just go ahead and love and let's not go ahead and massacre the Mamzers or anything like that. Ignoring the fact that Zog Babylon, when it falls apart, is going to do all the heavy lifting. Yahweh is not really going to go ahead and kill all, you know, what, 7 billion? Or what, the vast majority, 99.99% of the 7 billion Humamzeroid or humanoid or whatever critters that there are. What he's going to do is he's going to go ahead and pull all, everything that prevents nature from taking its course. And the only thing he is going to do is to protect you, the elect. And yes, he is going to protect the elect. Matthew 24, verse 21 through 22, when it says that there shall be a great tribulation, such as never was and never will be again, and except, you know, except for Jesus Christ's second return, no flesh should be saved. Jesus Christ does not care about the non-white six-day beasts of the field. He does not care about the Mamzers, and he certainly does not care about the Jews. The only protection that you will have is if Jesus Christ and Yahweh decides to go ahead and protect you by deflecting most of it, just as our Israelite ancestors got deflected most of the plagues, the 10 plagues of Egypt. they had Yahweh go ahead and protect them. And the Israelite which did not go ahead and obey, did not put the blood of the Lamb upon his doorstep when the death angel came, their firstborn died just like the Egyptians did. So, in any case, your protection is to go ahead and pay heed to what I'm saying and avoid these Jews, be they Sephardic like Eli James or be they Ashkenaz like William Fink. But folks, anybody who has a brain should see that if you end up having Crohn's disease, there's a reason for it, and the reason for it is that you have a Jew in your woodpile. You're a Jew. And anybody goes ahead and you see them supporting Jews and Mamzers, why? There's a reason for that. It's because they're Jews or Mamzers or stupid Wigger race traders or Zogbots. Normal people do not hear of Crohn's. Russ Walker didn't until I went ahead and, with logic, went ahead and showed that the reason these people have Crohn's and the reason I've gone ahead and found out is by listening to them. By listening to them. And yes, I have listened to them. I spy on about every single forum that I think has something which acts against above ground and underground Christian Israel. Against the chosen seed of Israel's race who did hear the call. Now most of the time, if it's going to go ahead and just affect Wiggers and Mamzers and the rest, well, hey, I don't really care. Let them go ahead and be destroyed in their own trap. Later on, in the next to the last section, I go ahead and someone asked me a question is, what do you mean by works? And I went ahead and answered that question. Within Christian identity, you are having a bunch of these Jews like Eli James and Dan Johns, and Dan Johns is a Jew too. Because this kid got AskAIDS Jew AskAIDS. But here they come in and they want to go ahead and Talmudize Christian identity. Now, is there any need for Talmudizing Christian identity when, as it says, that the law of Yahweh is written on the hearts of the Israelites? And the answer is no. If you have the law of Yahweh written on your heart, you do not need to really worry too much about the law because you will instinctively obey it. It will hurt you to not do so. But the Jews and Mamzers who want to get into Christian identity, they want to go ahead and bring their tradition of men, just like their ancestors, the Pharisaical Edomite Jews, tried to do that with their pre-Talmud, their Mishnah. Essentially, Christ walked right over it. Christ was not one to stand on ceremony. He was not to stand on self-righteousness. He hated self-righteousness. Folks, you got to understand is that no matter how much of a righteous life you live, all your righteousness is to the majesty of Jesus Christ and Yahweh, nothing more than filthy rags. But yet, what is works? And the works is obeying the law of Yahweh, which is written on your heart. Now, Paul went ahead and said, by grace are you saved. Well, that is true. It's not your works which are going to get you into paradise. Rather, it is Jesus Christ giving you the gift of grace. But folks, you are not going to go ahead and get that gift unless you are the intended recipient. And the only way you'll be an intended recipient is if you are of the proper race. Dan Johns, in one of his sermons, said the exact opposite. I don't care what his fruits are. Brian Reel's fruits are just wonderful here. Even though he's a shit-skinned, evil little Mamzer Jew Golem faggot, who, essentially, his works are evil. Taking down web pages, going ahead and calling the FBI, just like Eli, and in conjunction with Eli James. Snitching and, pretty well censorship. Fearful that people go ahead and reveal that, this critter isn't, white. He isn't an Israelite. He isn't anything other than evil little Jew Mamzer Golem. But, and folks, here's Dan Johns, another Jew, saying that he finds the works of this Jew wonderful. And folks, it's not the works that's going to go ahead and get you in. It is by grace. But you are not going to go ahead and get grace unless you are the proper race. So, you know, like James chapter 2 said, in somewhat of a reaction to Paul's saying that the law was no longer important, you know, because Paul was raised as a Pharisee. He was raised at the foot of Gamaliel the First, who went ahead and started moving this Mishnah and started Gemaraizing or adding on to this Mishnah, which was originally a way by which these Pharisees, these base-born Pharisees, these Edomites, even though they were not of the Levitical blood and had no part in the religious ceremonies, were trying to go ahead and buy, quote, works, by going ahead and quoting the laws of Moses and take upon themselves, trying to become religious teachers, even though by tribe they were not allowed to do that. Trying to go ahead and usurp the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. And since they were usurpers, and Jesus Christ came among them far more often, he fought far more often with these Pharisees, with these Edomite Jews, these race traitors and the rest here, the Eli James and the Bill Finks and Dan Johns and Jeremy Vissers of his day. But James II said, well, you know, faith without works is dead, and that's true. You see, if you're an Israelite, you have been extended the gift of grace. You were not extended that gift unless you were the proper recipient. And like Jesus Christ said, he was not sent to anybody other than the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the Samaritans, who were a white Adamic people, you know, also known as Cutheans. He was not sent to the, quote, Gentiles, who were not Israelites. He was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he had 12 disciples. One of them was a Jew designed to betray, but he sent the other ones to the various Israelite tribes, you know, of Greece, of Britain, of Rome, of Parthia, the Scythians. He sent them out to go ahead and talk to the lost sheep and make them the found sheep, the Christians, the early Christian church of his day. And he'd recall them. Sometimes he'd bring them in for the holy days. They'd come in for the holy days from where they were, and they'd send them back out again. And after his death, they were sent all out, although Paul was the main one to the Gentiles. In any case, folks, yeah, by grace are you saved, but you cannot get grace unless you have the proper race. You cannot go ahead and essentially say that you are following God, that you are following Jesus Christ, if you're a Mamzer, if you're a non-white. Because, well, Yahweh is not going to go accept you any more than he accepted Cain, any more than he accepted Cain's offering. Even if Cain had done everything that was possible, Yahweh would not have respected Cain or his offering, because Cain was the son of the evil one, Satan. So, you have a little mini sermon which lasts about 30 minutes. Well, I go ahead and preach about that, but the main portion of this thing is harping yet again upon how you've gotten all these Jews with their Jew askades, and here you have Wiggers and Mamzers and fellow Jews looking on like guilty cattle, like diseased animals, looking on, seeing a diseased Jew whose guts are bleeding, and literally just, oh, I just, you know, you poor little, you know, you're one of us, you're one of the brethren. Well, yes, they are one of the brethren, because essentially, you're an evildoer. Folks, someone with Crohn's, you should not take them as a brother because, hey, he's a Jew. You do not take a Jew as a brother. You do not take a Mamzer as a brother. They are outside the flock. And while I am certainly not at this time advocating that they die, in fact, I urge you all to go ahead and simply to let Yahweh do the heavy lifting, to let Yahweh remove his mighty hand and let this great tribulation occur. And so this show is about revealing what is going on in the movement. And this was a chat session. It wasn't the main sermon or the main, you know, the main impetus of what I usually do. But here at the Movement Turd, I urge you to first get right with Yahweh. You can only get right with Yahweh if you are a found sheep of the house of Israel. Second of all, to take care of your own family. And third of all, when this great tribulation is exterminated 95% and it's about time for Jesus Christ to come back, for you to go ahead and rise up and finish off the residual resident evil. But not until then. For now, stay underground, folks. Stay underground. And folks, what we have, it's just like I always say, it's a Uyghur problem, because Uyghurs allow this shit to happen. They are told, I mean, there's something ridiculous about Jews screaming about Jews, 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 worshiping Hitler as a god, and showing that they don't have any understanding about Yahweh's holy word, about Yahweh's plan. Because they're not able to understand it, or they don't want to understand it. They have a little predilection to it, and what they do is that they let the spark rise for a little bit when you talk to them, and then the spark dulls. You can see it in their eyes as their little programming clicks in. Well, Jesus Christ was not out to save the Uyghurs of his day. If you go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, when his disciples asked, why do you speak in parables? Well, the answer why Jesus Christ spoke in parables is he wanted most of the Uyghurs to die in ignorance. And that's the same thing here too. I am hoping that those who listen on, even if they're not, the found sheep, what they will do is that they will avoid this movement. They will go ahead and do what they need to do. What they need to do is stay underground. But to go ahead and listen and look and keep their ears open and to save themselves and their families first, and then worry about their local communities. Don't worry about Zog. Zog is doomed. Zog is due to die. Because essentially, the Uyghurs are dying out. They can't even take care of themselves anymore. And that is the way it should be. Yahweh has given our people their birthright. And we wasted it. We blew it away. We went ahead and gave it to the... We went ahead and let the Jews take it over. And essentially, because we were sinful, we got all the curses of the old covenant to where, hey, the racial enemy will be raised very high above you and you will be brought very low. Well, that's what Yahweh said. And Jesus Christ is certainly not one to go ahead and overturn Yahweh's law. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and let you have at it. I hope you learned something from this. It's still a harping of the same thing about all these Jew mamzers with Jew ass cancer / Jew ass AIDS, also known as Crohn's disease. If someone has Crohn's, that's a sure sign they have a kike in the woodpile and they're a Jew. And there's no such thing as a good Jew. Doesn't really matter if Finkelstein, being a Jew himself, says there's no such thing as a good Jew. I mean, he's proof positive of that. But folks, don't be a Uyghur. Do not be a Uyghur. Don't be a Uyghur who had a chance to go ahead and live and yet chose to die based upon your original programming, your original Zog programming, which is designed to go ahead and make you into a stupid sheep, into a stupid steer, and go willingly into the slaughter pen. The Great Tribulation is going to go ahead and exterminate quite a few of you, just like it says in Jeremiah chapter 16, where they will die grievous deaths and they will be eaten by the dogs and the birds. And those of you who are the righteous sheep, the found sheep, are not to go ahead and shed a tear for evil-doing Uyghurs who will go ahead and ignore the law of Yahweh written on their heart, develop a callus upon their heart develop eyes which see and cannot see, and ears which hear and cannot hear, and having a mind cannot understand, because their minds are closed, because they love the lies of the Jews and of Satan. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and we'll go ahead and get on with it. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away. Stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Okay, Russ, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, right now, this is before the show here. I was going ahead and looking at last night's trolling with, on the Dan John show. You had Commandor McFag or McBragg or Steve Elder, whatever you want to call him. And pretty well, I was just pretty well flash trolling him. And then when he started blocking guests, I went ahead and just, logged on using a made-up name. But, essentially, it was a week ago, it was the previous Wednesday, that at the very end of it, Legal Man 2012, I call him Legal Man for 2012, he's supposed to be Dan John's son, went ahead and said that he had Crohn's. And that McFag had gone ahead and helped him, because McFag had Crohn's too, but he took care of it, rather early. And I'm looking at the chat from last night, and Dan Johns pretty well said that Legal Man 2012 was indeed his, son. McFag went ahead and admitted that he helped poor old Legal Mamser, but he said he only had heartburn. He's not gone ahead and admitted to having full-fledged U.S. cancer, but he doesn't know the full, tale of it. And essentially, I was going ahead and trolling and trolling and trolling, but essentially, I was talking to Pastor John Britton about this about a week ago, too. And if you end up having Crohn's, that means that you have some sort of Jew, you have some sort of Ashkenazi Jew marker genes. You might have been from the Huns or whatever. And that's why you end up getting the Crohn's.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah, well, it's not amazing. I mean, shit, I knew that, you know, Eli James was a Jew. I knew Dan Johns was accused of being a Jew, and he's gone ahead and I have him recorded that where he came from. I thought he was just a red nigger from South, you know, from Central South Georgia. But no, he came from New Jersey. That's what he said on the show around the time of the earthquake.
Michigan. Maybe he's lived in Michigan most of his life. He doesn't sound like he's from New Jersey, though.
Well, his family came from New Jersey, just sort of like Brian Reels' family came from New Jersey. You know, the Reels originally started in New Jersey, at least when they weren't in, you know, southern Sicily and the rest of these places. You remember, it's been close to a year now. Last year, it was about the 29th of October, I found out the name of Brian Reel and what he actually looked like. But, it was a year ago today when I found out that Fink was lying to me and got all mad at Fink and, you know, pretty well broke out with Fink here because, hey, I mean, I'm not going to be lied to by some Jew criminal, not with impunity. So, you know, last October was sort of a busy time for me. Eli James called up on Halloween, remember, to go ahead and argue that Eli James was, you know, or not, you know, that Brian Reel wasn't a Jew and that he would be going ahead and giving the DNA, you know, his DNA, him and Brian would be giving samples of their DNA record to people if they went ahead and they got a DNA test, remember?
I vaguely remember something like that. I don't remember, but nothing ever happened. Who the hell cares?
Well, you know, Eli James is not going to provide a DNA test. It's going to go ahead and show some part, you know, Chicago Jew is pretty well, I'm convinced. It's going to go ahead and show that he's not white.
Do you think that DNA... Look, I believe that ultimately the DNA will show what house you are of Israel and everything else and all the rest of that stuff when it's finally decided.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the present state of science, can they determine that kind of stuff? I don't know.
Well, they can determine where, who your ancestors were, you know, by happy, you know, I mean, they have done the full, human genome project, and they're able to go ahead and tell Chinese, Oriental, and Jew marker genes and all that, and they found out that Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazi Jews were indeed related. Well, the reason they were related is that these Ashkenazi Jews came from the Khazars, but where did the Khazars come from? The answer is they came from these Hittites. And so, you know, Jews share, according to Christian identity and also according to DNA testing, they share a common ancestor. Now, we say the ancestor is Satan the devil through Cain.
Right.
But in any case, last October, I was finding out all this stuff here, and pretty well, I found this stuff by pretty well listening in to Dan Johns, and here's old legal manager talking to somebody he thinks he can trust who goes ahead and tells him that, hey, you got Crohn's disease. And then when I'm trolling, essentially Dan Johns admits the legal man 2012 is the son. Now, I've gone ahead and paid attention to where a couple of years ago, you know, back in 2005 or so, Bradley Jenkins and August Christ wanted to beat Dan Johns because they thought he was a New Jersey Jew. They wanted to beat his ass, and Eli James wouldn't let them go ahead and assault Dan Johns. And, you know, essentially that was one of the things that, you know, Dan Johns or Eli James went ahead and mentioned.
Let me say something. Apparently Dan Johns lives, August Christ apparently lives in South Carolina somewhere. And there's some boys who came to the feast, not this year. I wasn't at the feast this year because my wife was sick, but the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they dislike Christ for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, there's a lot of people dislike Christ because he's a mooch here. You know what I mean? He ain't a Jew. He's just a mooch. He's just
a mooch. He seems to be whatever's crooked to make money. Well, in any event, someone told me that August Christ has got severe diabetes. And his legs are missing, or his ankles are missing, or something like that?
Oh, I went ahead and somebody, you know, Vincent Bertolini is a big partisan of August Christ, and somebody went ahead and showed. They were doing a raffle for August Christ. He's in a South Carolina jail waiting sentencing for supposedly defrauding the government, you know, on a Navy pension disability, something like that. And That's where he was, is that he got one leg chopped off and, you know, most of one foot. He, you know, all you can see is the very top of his, you can very see the very top of his foot. Pretty well, they
this from diabetes chop, or what?
Yeah, from diabetes.
Okay.
You know, he is what? From my Gary, he is number 2 diabetes. So, well, you know, he didn't have it when he was younger, so he didn't have childhood diabetes. So, yeah, he has diabetes, and, you know, pretty well, it pretty well caught up with him. Now, August Christ would indeed do pretty well, a lot of stuff for money. He's sort of like Morris Gillette here. Morris Gillette plowed to rob banks here. Now, you know, Gillette just intends to just go ahead and beg and sell memberships and all this sort of thing in order to get money. But, in any case, yeah, I'm pretty tired now. I'm wondering if I'm going to end up, you know, making it very long on the show tonight. But I had a fairly bad day. Then that this steering column on this Cadillac is going out. It was sort of locked up, and Roxy's nephew managed to go ahead and figure out how to get the thing started and running again. So we got it in the front yard. But I had to walk a couple hundred yards in my crutches before, you know, I got picked up, and my hip was hurting me pretty bad, but now I'm just sort of tired. But, you know, getting on with it, I'm going ahead, and last night I was trolling and trolling and trolling and trolling, and essentially Dan Johnson, legal man 2012 was the son. Legal man had already gone ahead and admitted he had Crohn's. He went ahead and admitted that, you know, McBragg had Crohn's. And
you or somebody else said that McBrain was married to a spick or something unusual. Am I screwed up in this room or what?
Well, no, from my gear, there's a lot of people saying that McBragg is married to a Beaner woman, and she works for the Washington State government. And I heard, or I seen, you know, McBragg himself admit that he has not worked for over 2 years. And listening to what he was talking, essentially McBragg is just a, I mean, he was just a gopher. He was just somebody who went ahead and got, you know, picked up stuff at construction. He was laid off over 2 years ago. Well, knowing McBragg, I mean, he's just a big, you know, he's probably just a big loudmouth who essentially you can't tell anything to, and he would probably be laid off anyway. But
he's told people that he has a degree in computer science, and I don't like dealing with him. He's always throwing spears.
Well,
I
mean, he went ahead and said that he hadn't been hired for over 2 years, and I was spying on him. Essentially, McBragg goes ahead and says he just had heartburn. Well, I doubt that here, but you might have had a lot of heartburn from your Jew ass cancer. But getting on with, moving on with it here, if you go ahead and look at it, I was trolling and trolling and trolling. I went ahead and put it up on my webpage where McBragg essentially, looks like the computer died on me. McBragg was, essentially admitting that you end up having these people with these diseases. And these diseases are Jewish genetic diseases. They're disorders.
Well, this is one of the reasons that the Jews are not as numerous on the face of the earth. I mean, for all the missionaries around the earth and that Judah and everybody else did, that you'd think damn everybody would be a Jew by now. But no, this is knocking them out.
Well, Yahweh doesn't want to go out. I mean, Jews will go ahead, if you go ahead and argue that yes, there's a spawn state or something like that, well, they'll go ahead and laugh. Well, hey, there's nobody who's really pure-blooded on the earth here. How do you know if you go back 15 generations why you end up having 150,000 ancestors? There you keep on doubling it. And
Eli James sent me an email. He says, I confuse Judahites with Esau, someone else put. My brother's lived in Spain for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that like there's a town called Zaragoza in Castilla, it'd be Zaragoza.
Mm-hmm.
That's in northeastern Spain. That's where Ferdinand came from, Ferdinand Isabella. And he says that Zaras came from there. That's where they basically settled. But he says Spain is filled with Jews to this day. And he says one of the re- reasons that they, that the Spanish and the Portuguese eat so much damn pork is that they wanted to try and show everybody else they weren't really Jews. I don't really know. This is, I mean, I'm giving you just a little tidbits of information which may be very incorrect, but just for you and the listeners just to try to sort it out.
Well, you had what was called the Reconquest, or the Reconquista.
Exactly.
And pretty well went...
You know so much about it. I got to tell you something. You amazed me with your knowledge. These guys could throw all the damn brick breath they wanted you, but you have a phenomenal knowledge of history. And I mean, yes, the Reconquista started in Portugal.
Started in Spain right up. It started in northwest Spain right up against the Portugal border. It started in Leon. And you had a number of kingdoms, and where, you know, you had what was called the Reconquista. In 712, the Arabs crossed from one side to the other.
It was in 714 when Charles Martel crushed them at Tours.
Well, it was 712 when they went ahead and, you know, crossed from Africa. And pretty well what they were resurgent, but in some cases the Jews, in Cordoba, the Cordoba Jews went ahead, these evil kikes, they went ahead and they opened the gates and slaughtered the Christians. And pretty well the Jews collaborated with the Muslims. Now supposedly Muhammad died, you know, at the age of what, 50 or so, because he'd been poisoned by this Jewess who was all pissed off because he went ahead and ordered a Jew tribe of Arabs to be killed during these you know, little mini religious wars that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years later, he succumbed to that poisoning. He died. You know, he didn't die really a really old man. He really only died. He only lived to be about in his early 50s or so. But Jews have gone ahead and gone with whoever's winning, and they went ahead and literally opened the gates of Cordoba and caused this big fight. Well, right around the year 812, 8 whatever, you had this Spanish monk who went ahead and started the Reconquista, which meant the reconquest.
Right.
And you had these Visigoths, and what they would do is they just slowly went ahead and took over, re-Christianized areas of it. And I don't know if you ever seen this. It was a really good film. Remember when Charlton Heston and Sophia Loren played in El Cid?
I was probably 10 years old at best. I don't know, a long time ago.
Now, you'd have been a little bit older than that here. You know, it came out in the early 60s.
Did it really? In any event, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, it was sort of historical, but you had this warlord, Rodrigo, whatever his name here, known as El Cid, and from what I gather, he sort of changed sides a few times, but essentially pretty well stuck with the Christians, and they were Visigoths. You had the Vandals go on to Spain, and then they went on to North Africa, and they pretty well were, you know, they were pretty well extirpated within about a couple hundred years after, what, the 500s or so. But, you know, you had these Visigoths who were known as the Western Goths and also as the Forest Goths, as opposed to the Eastern Goths who were known as the Ostrogoths.
The Goths and Visigoths, I mean, I don't know much about that. I just know there are certain names.
Well,
there was some kind of a deal where somebody went to ask the Visigoths to go ask for help from the Syrians or somebody else, and they turned their back on them and they backstabbed them. I don't know. I forget the details.
Well, 376, you had the Huns who went ahead and scattered the Ostrogoths, you know, and the Visigoths and the rest of the Goths. The Goths were in three tribes here. You had the Gepids, who supposedly were in the boat, which were lazy and sluggish or whatever. And, you supposedly had this King Eomenric, who was 104 years old, who, you know, pretty well got killed in this battle with the Huns. And then the Huns came out of,
China. They were known as the White Huns, and they had a good deal of Jew in them, or they had something in them, and they were, they were rather fierce here, and they pretty well went all the way to, say, Tours or something like that, and they got beaten at Tours. And
714 with Charles Martel. He was
this was in the 400s or so. This is what, 452, I believe.
I think it was,
We're talking about the Huns. Okay, well, if you want to talk about
432, you may be right.
Yeah, 452, in the 400s, when Rome was falling apart. But you had all these Germanic tribes wandering about here, but the ones in Spain, the main ones, were the Visigoths. And I remember when I was in the army, there was this young man named Hidalgo, which meant the same as knight. And he was red-haired and blue-eyed, and he spoke Castilian, to all these here beaners, in the army. And his family came from the Balearic Islands. And he was proud of his Visigothic heritage. They went ahead and they did a reconquest. And, just a few years before 1492, Ferdinand of Aragon and, Isabella of Castile went ahead and married. They had the two biggest Christian crusader kingdoms or what have you. They went ahead and they drove in 1492. They did three different things here. Now, when you ask what happened in 1492, they say Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
They got married before that time.
Yeah, they got married before that time, but soon after they went ahead.
Married around 1476, approximately, somewhere in the ballpark.
Yes,
but they did join. There's a phrase in Spanish, quanto merita, merita quanto. In other words, one for all for one. No, tanto something. There's a phrase where it was actually a joint monarchy. I forget the exact Spanish phrase. It was a joint monarchy. The study of Ferdinand and Isabella is really fascinating. I mean, many things took place during their administration. It was unbelievable.
Well, what they did in 1492, most people say, what happened in 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But in 1492, he went ahead and drove out the last Moorish kingdom in Granada.
Right.
So in 1492, they drove out the Moor and Jew. And I have on my webpage the Alhambra Decree, to where essentially Ferdinand and Isabella said, Hey, look, we've tried to get along with these damn Jews, and it's not working out very good. And so what we're going to do is we're going to no more Jews. They either convert or they leave. And the ones which went ahead and pretended to convert.
The Muranos.
That's right. And from what I gather, Merino or Murano meant swine, because the common people didn't much care for them. But they passed the Alhambra Decree, and essentially what it boiled down to is that they gave the Jews 3 months to leave. And they could only leave with their clothes on their back, couldn't leave with gold, couldn't leave with silver, couldn't leave with Spanish slaves, couldn't leave with sheep, couldn't leave with goats or cattle. They had to leave. Well, a bunch of these Jews went ahead and converted, and it was found out that they were really just going ahead and practicing their own little Jew faith.
Oh, are you going to send out an email tonight to various people?
I sent the email out. I don't know if people got it or not.
Well, I haven't got an email.
Okay. Well, I sent it out here. It says it got out. It hasn't, been kicked back, Russ.
When did you send it out? What time?
I sent it out around 6 o'clock.
Something happened because I haven't gotten it.
Okay. Well, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't, Russ.
You must be getting it every time.
Well, I know, but, the thing about it is that none of this Silicon Valley snake oil works real good here. That was the name of a book about a dozen years, Silicon Valley snake oil. Sometimes this Silicon Valley snake oil don't work too good. In case you don't doubt it.
Yeah, I agree. There are problems, but it almost always works. I mean, you're right.
I sent the thing out to you.
Okay. Maybe I didn't get your email out of here. See, what I do is I go ahead and pick and choose, and I might not have gone ahead and clicked your name, so maybe you didn't.
Well, you sent it to me again, but you check to see who you did send it to, and see if I'm on the list.
My Toshiba is increasingly getting to where it is shutting off without any notice.
Big problems too.
And
I think after a while, these computers literally just wear out. I mean, I've had. It seems like every 3 months or so, I've got to go down to the computer place to get some fixed.
Well, this one, this Toshiba number one, I bought it on October 24th. You know, when I got out of the nut house, I went ahead and bought a computer because the three old ones, which were using Windows ME, weren't working anymore, so I had to have a computer, so I went ahead and bought my Toshiba number one. And that's still my main computer, even though I've wore the keyboard out, and, you know. But anyway, it tends to go ahead and get a little bit warm, and it went ahead and abruptly quit on me, so I just went ahead and
rebooted it. Maybe the heatsink's got to be blown off, or give it, you may have dust in the heatsink or something like that.
It might be. I don't really think so, because there's no really dust on the fan. What I did is I just went ahead and put this cooling pan with some fans underneath it, and that tends to go ahead and keep it. I'm not going to go ahead and start a whole bunch of programs. But any case, I went ahead and rebooted the thing up, and it'll, you know, in about a few minutes here, it's going to go ahead and start the TalkShoe program or something like that.
James, on one of his programs, told everyone that Bill Fink had done something called Chameleon, where Fink had accused
you. Oh, no. Well, the thing is that Fink has decided to pretty well ignore you and me, and he's just pretty well concentrating on his Sephardic cousin, Eli.
If he screws with you and me, we'll fight back. He knows that, baby.
And see, part of the reason is that, shoot, you are sort of peripheral. He doesn't really want people to go ahead and, you know, be hearing about me or hearing my side of the story. That's why he's gotten to where he doesn't spell my name. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the rest of these clowns do not like spelling my name correctly, because then they're scared they'll go to my webpage and read what I have to say. So that's part of it here. He doesn't really want to go ahead and mention my name or even your name. He's pretty well gunning for Eli James.
Spend 24 hours a day on his computer stuff and websites and all kinds of stuff. He must have no life.
Well, he spends a good deal of time.
He must.
But what he is he's just a Jew criminal who I believe has been, you know, pretty well offered to stay out of prison in return for getting into Christian identity.
I don't know. He should be getting off of parole pretty soon. I don't know
May 2012.
Pardon?
May 2012.
Well, how do you know that?
Because he said so on one of his shows.
Okay.
See, how do you think I found out that Legal Man 2012 had Crohn's disease?
I don't know. That's interesting.
I was going ahead and listening in at the tail end of the chat over on, you know, over on Dan John's, you know, on the 5th of October. And then, you know, yet last night I was trolling the crap out of there. And McBragg finally went ahead and admitted that he helped old Legal Man. But he didn't have Crohn's disease. He just had heartburn. Do you know that?
Well, I don't
believe that. I believe Steve Elder, or McFag, or whatever you want to call him, has Crohn's disease. He has Crohn's disease. He knows he has Crohn's disease.
Did he kill you, or just like perpetual diarrhea? What's the story?
Well, what Crohn's disease is, and essentially it's an autoimmune deficiency of the bowel. What it is that literally the body systems wants to go ahead and reject the organ here. Now, when you really get into dual seedline Christian identity, you do believe that Jews are a total alien people, a total alien race, They're the spawn of Satan. And then you go ahead and you notice that male Jews, especially young male Jews, if they go ahead and breed, if they go ahead and breed within themselves, you know, it don't affect the females quite as badly. But, you know, male Jews, if they go ahead and just have nothing more than the poisonous blood of Satan concentrated in them, what happens after about three or four generations, you know, they get really screwed up. And from what I get, Legal Man 2012 looks like a total freak. You know what I mean? You know, he's all pasty, white. He looks like just a total little geek. He weighs around 100 pounds or something like that.
Really? I have no idea.
Well, this is what somebody tells me here. Of course, he told me that, you know, he's not Dan John's son, but last night, Dan John's, you know, pretty well, very strongly implied that Legal Man 2012 was Dan John's son. Because Dan John says, I talk to all my children. Dan John sort of admitted that he had, you know, that he had a little bit of Crohn's. But anyway, Deepwood's dual seed line, Chris Sandetti, holds that about every two or three generations, you have what we call Esterchicuses, named after Esther, who went ahead and got her some Aryan pecker from old King Ataxerxes. And the reason she did that was supposedly so that, you know, he would go ahead and have pity on her people and save them during Purim and all this sort of stuff. But the also the reason of it is that really Deepwood's dual seed line holds these Jews end up getting poisoned by their satanic ichor. And if you end up having something like Crohn's and Tay-Sachs, especially Crohn's, essentially, you know, that's pretty well in line with dual seed line, you know, theology, because, you know, hey, they've got to go ahead and get, in order to stabilize their bloodline, these, you know, beautiful Jew women have to go ahead and get in fresh human DNA. Because if it's just left to Jews, they'll pretty well poison each other out. Now, most Jew women end up looking sort of repulsive. You know, they look like Madeleine Albright or a few others, but no, I mean, Jews are Satan's kids. But, you know, the little Jew boys here, and I've seen this over the internet. You have some really screwed up old little Jew boys who are sitting in the closet or something like that, and they're just totally screwed up. Well, what happens is Crohn's disease, it would seem that essentially their cellular structure is breaking down. It's an immune disease, sort of like AIDS.
Autoimmune disease, yeah.
Yeah, it's an autoimmune disease. And what they say is it occurs 2 to 8 times. Well, is it 2 or is it 8 times? And the answer is that it's a Jew disease. It doesn't matter whether or not you're blonde, blue-eyed. If you end up having these Jewish marker, you know, genes here, you're going to go ahead, in some cases, go ahead and get Crohn's. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to get Crohn's every single time, but it is a Jewish disease. And I'm quite sure that, you know, McBragg understands is that, hey, by going ahead and saying he has Crohn's, he might as well go ahead and say he's a Jew. Now, I used to go ahead and tell people that he was a proud pick until me and, you know, repeating what John Britton says, these picks were essentially, what they are is they're Tubal-Cainites. They're these, you know, Hittites who went ahead and knew how to work iron. They're also known as pot and pan people. They're known as riverbed people. And they migrated through these riverbeds, and they interbred, you know, among the Wheelos and among the rest of these people. But essentially, McBragg understands what Crohn's disease means, too, so he won't admit to having Crohn's, but he did go ahead, and he didn't know what all was being said. He didn't know what was all being said by old Legal Mamzer. Well, I went ahead and looked at the
internet. It's very clear. It says it's a Jewish genetic disease.
Well, generally, if you go ahead and look at some of these links here, I mean, essentially, you've gotten... See, it's not been known as long as, say, Tay-Sachs. You've had the Jews for the past 40 years trying to breed out Tay-Sachs by having people who, you know, it's sort of like hemophilia,
to where, hey, if this is a dominant gene, you don't go ahead and marry somebody else who has a dominant gene for hemophilia. You go ahead and you try to make it a recessive gene, which doesn't appear as much. Well, Jews have been doing that for the past, 40 years or so. But
just on this internet site here, although environmental factors clearly contribute, there is a strong evidence for studies of twins and affected families that inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, especially Crohn's disease, has genetic basis. Research has shown evidence of genetic disposition to a chronic inflammatory bowel disease among Jewish and individuals of Eastern European descent. Inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, is 2 to 8 times more common in Ashkenazi Jews. Genetic factors inherited from the mother may play an important role in predisposing these individuals to Crohn's disease. Crohn's disease occurs in all ethnic groups and races. However, its incidence is highest in Caucasians and Jewish people of Eastern Europe, Ashkenazi Jews. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America estimates that over 2 million Americans suffer from some form of inflammatory disease. There's an equal incidence of IBD in males and females. At any rate, I won't get into it.
Well, a different one said it was more common in males than females. Okay?
Well, in any event.
In any event, they don't want to go ahead and say it's altogether a Jew disease, but, you know, you got to understand is that it was, you know, they called it after this, you know, they called it after this other, this Polish doctor who went ahead and discovered around 1900, but usually they call it after this Jew doctor named Crohn, who went ahead and found it, and they usually call it Crohn's disease. Although there's a Polish one who went, a Polish doctor who went ahead and found it really first here. And it's called Leibowitzki or something like that. And it is pretty much a Jew disease. You don't hear too much, it's not like you hear it, you know, occurring among Swedes or Englishmen or anything like that. You hear it occurring among Jews. So if you end up talking about Eastern Europeans, well, you end up finding out they probably have a Jewish bloodline. But what gets me is that, you know, McFag knew that he had Crohn's, and he went ahead and quietly helped Legal Man. He quietly helped Legal Man take care of his Crohn's disease for him, is what he did. So, you know, Elder understood what the Crohn's disease meant. Essentially, here he is helping his good buddy Dan John's son take care of his Crohn's. It's sort of like having his good buddy Dan John's son taking care of his Tay-Sachs disease.
Well, whatever it is, okay.
I mean, you got to understand is that, you know, McBragg understood what the Crohn's disease meant. He's not going ahead, you know, because he wants to go ahead and pretend to be white. But he's not white. He's a Pictish, you know, he's a Pict of some sort, and he's, you know, that means he's part Jew.
Well,
and because he's part Jew, he has Crohn's.
He's following Yahweh's law because he's got some guns or something like that. That's a bunch of crap.
Well, he's delusional. He's usually delusional, but he is.
Right.
I mean, he's a delusional. You know, people call him McBragg because, hey, he kills monster galore. Why don't we go ahead and send my own little smutty version of Command Dork McFag here? His Jew wife is a whore, his squaw is a whore, and so goes the brag of McFag. I went ahead and sang my own little version of the cartoon song about the word, you know, his name is Command Dork McFag. He is a total tubal canic man's a fag. He goes ahead and talks shit galore. His squaw wife is a whore, and so goes the, you know, brag of McFag. And I was going ahead and trolling that and daring people to go ahead and click it and listen to it. But I went ahead and made a parody song about McBragg. It wasn't a very nice parody song. It was sort of a mean parody song. But you do, I mean, if you go ahead and look at the chat, McBragg knows exactly what, you know, what being told that you have Crohn's disease meant. I mean, essentially, I've called it Jew ass cancer. Now, it's really not really a cancer, but it's a Jew, you know, autoimmune deficiency disease in the, in the colon and in the, intestine. And, John Britton said that Brian White, another character who looked like a czar, he had Crohn's. And what they often do is when they're young, they try to go ahead and excise, you know, the portion between the small intestine where it joins into the large intestine. That's what they tried to do with surgery.
I don't have a problem. I could care less personally, so.
Yeah, but you do understand as McBragg is at least, you know, McBragg's usually an idiot, but he did know what Crohn's disease was.
That's interesting because I had no idea.
Because he had Crohn's disease, you know, because he has Crohn's disease. You understand what I'm getting at?
Right.
He knew what Crohn's disease was. He knew there was a Jewish disease. Now, since he likes to pretend to be an Aryan, do you think he liked telling everybody he has Crohn's disease?
Well, he did it. What are you going to do?
Well, he don't like telling people he has Crohn's disease. He don't like telling people that he has, you know, essentially a disease which, you know, for all practical purposes, ought to be, you know, marked as being a Jew disease.
Well, it makes no difference. Whatever he has, he has. You and I can't change it. The hell with it.
No, but, you know, I don't think you understand my point. McBragg understood full well what Crohn's disease was, because he has it. He understands it's a Jewish disease. He can't go ahead. I mean, it's sort of like this here. Let's say you're a big old faggot here, and you go ahead and you come down with AIDS. Now, you want to go ahead and hide the fact you have AIDS because you want to hide the fact you're a faggot. Are you going to tell everybody you have AIDS?
No.
No. Are you going to go ahead and when you help your little gay lover with his AIDS, you know, difficulty, and he goes ahead, well, thank you. You went ahead and saved me from AIDS. Do you think he's going to be really grateful for this young, you know, whoever he's screwing who went ahead and revealed the fact he's a homosexual?
It got out. It won't go back in.
Well, it got back. It got out here. And essentially, I found out, last Wednesday night, which was not this Wednesday night, you know, but it was the Wednesday night before on Dan John's, and essentially I was trolling, just pretty well rubbing it in and said, hey, you're a bunch of Jews. You end up having this Jew disease. And essentially, Legal Man 2012, why he's Dan John's son, he is Crohn's. So what does that tell you about Dan John's?
They're Jews too.
Yeah, he's a Jew too. So here he is, here you have all these, you know, characters here, Eli James and Bill Fink and the rest here, and essentially they don't want you talking about their, who they are, who they really are. They don't want you. I mean, William Fink, he doesn't even allow any trolling about that. He just simply goes ahead and blocks all, well, you know, he just pretty well blocks everybody. You know, he has things pretty well, you know, locked down.
He's terrified of criticism, that's right.
Well,
he still sends me his newspaper, his Christogenin News, whatever it's called. He sends it to me every
New Saxon.
Month,
so. New Saxon.
That's right.
What New Saxon. It used to be the New Ensign, but he could not get along with the British Israelite people out of England. He just couldn't get along with them people.
What a surprise, huh?
Well, he usually pretty well just wears... He just pretty well wears out his welcome pretty quick.
You know. Is that British Israelism dying or what? They used to have a... On shortwave, 10 or 20 years ago, they used to have a program on shortwave on WWCR. And some guys came out of Toronto.
Well...
Yearly meetings in Canada or something like that.
You used to have Herbert Armstrong. He was the biggest British Israelite... one, although he didn't usually call it. He called it his own little teachings. He certainly didn't like going ahead admitting that he got everything he knew from the Church of God Seventh Day. You know, what he called the Sardis era. Stanberry, Missouri. See, he did not want to go ahead and admit that essentially that he didn't go ahead and develop all this stuff. He did go ahead and change all his stuff from a, well, you know, he'd go ahead, in some cases, some people said is that he would literally just plagiarize lots and lots of books here. But Herbert Armstrong's church was I call it a one-seed line church, but it was Armstrongism was, you know, Christian identity, but they didn't like calling it Christian identity. They didn't want everybody thinking, oh, we love the government. And your Ephraim Scepter stuff, I think pretty well originates from, you know, from that, because essentially they, you know, Herbert Armstrong's church did believe that the Jews were Judah, but they had been bad, bad Jews. And so, you know, just like most Christians, they believe that essentially the covenant had gone ahead and been taken away from the Jews and given to these, you know, given to these real Israelites. You know, and where you end up, you know, since, you know, the Jews are Ephraim, well, who got the scepter? And, well, you know, Russ, you go ahead and believe that Ephraim has the scepter, correct?
Okay, you want to discuss this now? No.
Sure.
Judah has the scepter until Yeshua comes.
Okay, well, then we're agreed on that, then.
Well, which from these other guys, which from said time after time, oh, Judah has it forever, blah, 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 that's nonsense. Judah has the scepter till Yeshua comes. Judah has a scepter right now. Judah's had the scepter for the last couple thousand years, you know. They had the scepter when Christ was there. I mean, can you imagine being powerful enough to have Christ crucified? Can you imagine how much power that requires?
Well, Jews have had people murdered. You know, they don't like for some time.
Being murdered is different from having Yeshua murdered. That was unbelievable. I mean, that was really...
Well, to be honest with you, why do you think, you know, Jesus Christ knew what Judas's purpose was?
Of course.
He knew, you know, he knew why he was coming down here.
The Jews.
Well, he was, you know, some cases, you go ahead and read where Jesus Christ, his disciples, were hiding out from, you know, were hiding from the Jews. The reason they were hiding from the Jews is that Jesus Christ wasn't ready to be murdered by these dirty Jews just yet.
That's right. That's why they're in the upper room.
Okay.
That's exactly right. They were terrified. They're coming to get them next.
Well, they weren't really terrified. It's just that this was not the time or place here for the Jews to get their way. You know, later on, the Jews did get their way, and they did go, you know, they did have Christ, you know, executed by means of crucifixion. Correct?
Right.
But, Pastor John Britton, he's talked about, you know, about how Newman was, you know, believed in Ephraim's scepter, you know, sort of thing. But Russ, for all practical purposes, Judah has a scepter until Jesus Christ returns. For all practical purposes, that's, well, at least that's been, you know, the vast majority of, you know, of Israelite history. I mean, when you end up having Jacob Israel go ahead and talk about his sons, well, you know, the tribes didn't start until he had his sons. So pretty well, almost as long as there's been Israelites there, you had Judah have the scepter. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. But I believe that this Ephraim scepter thing began with, you know, well, you gotta understand is that you've had British Israelitism for about, you know, since the 1840s or so. It's been around since Mormonism here. Right now it looks like the server at TalkShoe, you know, I mean, I'm having trouble getting on TalkShoe right now. It's just acting up right now, you know, tonight.
I'm sending that email, that's okay.
Well, I could, but I don't want to open up I don't want to go ahead and open up my Google. I might go ahead in a minute do so. But let me see.
I just got an email. Alex Jones says Obama and Israel to launch war with Iran.
Well, they're kinda. You know.
Pardon?
Yeah, let's just go ahead. Let's just go ahead. Let me go ahead and start another. Let me just go ahead. I've talked to you for 44 minutes here. Hold on, Russ. Alex Lender, Guido Weasel, and Ass Clown just barely sneezing. Quickus, we can rebuild it. We have the Order Zogbucks. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic Ass Clown.
Alex Linder will be that bionic ass clown. Dumber than it was before. Anal. Vulgar. Ass clown.
Okay, yeah, if you want to go ahead and talk about, you know, I think we've talked enough about Dan Johns' Jew-ass cancer and all that. Legal Mamzer McFagan's Jew-ass cancer. What happens, most of the world figures out, is that this is all together just another one of these incompetent little FBI false flag operations to where they go ahead and they find some raghead. And that's how the FBI has gone ahead and busted all these terrorist plots. They go ahead and find some little, they find some greedy, nigger that wants dope and give them money and guns. And, or they find some stupid raghead and they give them, supposedly give them a bomb. Now folks, like Harold Covington says, these ragheads have shown that they know how to go ahead and make real improvised explosive devices and car bombs, haven't they? I mean, that's what they've been mainly killing the Jupes with over in Iraq and Afghanistan, is these
I will never do it. This car bomb stuff's technology that's been on for quite a while. And,
well, that's what, if you know what has been killing the most, Zog soldiers, it's been these improvised explosive devices.
Right, IED.
And car bombs and stuff like that. Now, folks, does anybody really doubt if this was a real, Al-Qaeda event of somebody who they had in the United States? Does anybody really doubt that? I mean, why would they get incompetent in doing this all of a sudden? And the answer is they're not incompetent in not doing it. I mean, these Muslims know how to go ahead and build one, but essentially what you have just like, the very first World Trade Center thing in 1993. Essentially it was all together a FBI plot, to go ahead and blame Muslims for,
Sure.
For this thing. Well, I went ahead and looked at my email on Gmail. I'm not sure if I went ahead and sent anything or not here, but I'm having problems loading TalkShoe. And let's see.
But you still haven't sent the email out, Martin.
Well, I didn't. I may not send it out to you.
Well, send it to me because that's the easy way for me to see it.
Okay. Hey, I just got it. I just got it right now.
Bring forth the royal diadem and hail.
That's me singing some hymns.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who you better believe speaks for some of the...
Okay, well, let me... You do know the number of my talk shoe show, don't you?
Who?
You do know the number of my talk shoe show, don't you?
32 or something like that. But sometimes I put that number in and nothing happens, Martin.
Well,
I'll try right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay, let me...
Well, if you send the email to me, it's a lot easier for me.
Okay, let me... Well, here, let me go ahead and get on TalkShoe here. Hold on, Russ, here. Let me just go ahead and, it says I have two participants here. Let me see. Let me go ahead and start this thing. Alrighty. Alright, well, we got a few people in there already. Hey Russ, let's say you go ahead and you call back in about 10 minutes, I'll send you an email, okay? Alright, bye bye Russ. This is the world of Command Dork McFag. A dirty tubal can I tube or mams or fag. Effects of men's are ask a war. Esquire wife is a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. On the asses of them kikes is McFag. The pixie's tongue's ass to mouth it does wag. With its pecker in its hand, it can come on any man. For so says the brag of McFag. Fucking and jubus the body McFag does all is true. Yapping and crapping and cocky and blinkers, McFag is a Jew. Doping and yapping with pecker and flapping and sticking to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, McFag will keep yapping. McCandrick McFag comes through. This is a world of Commander McFag. A double tubal can I tube or mams or fag. He sucks of Mazer's galore. Esquire wife is a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. This is the world of Commander McFag. A dirty tubal can I tube or mams or fag. McFag will do anything. SP Brain says it's a king. Or so says the brag of McFag. Okay, we're back. I'm waiting for Russ to go ahead and call back, but I did have about 45 minutes talking to him. He may or may not, he may decide just go ahead and go to bed. But we were talking about, McFag, and last night I was trolling Dan John's show again, and essentially McBragg has essentially admitted that, doesn't admit that he has, has Jew-ass cancer, as I call it, as other people call it, Crohn's disease, which is a Jew immune deficiency disease. He don't want to go ahead and admit that. But yeah, he has Crohn's. Legal Mams of 2012, and Dan Johns essentially admitted that Legal Mams of 2012 was his son. So that means that Legal Mams, or Dan Johns, admits that he has, essentially he's a Jew of some sort. Because Legal Mams have got, Crohn's, and Crohn's is a Jew disease. McFag McBragg didn't want to go ahead and admit that he had Crohn's. Pretty well moving on with it. I don't know how long I'm going to go ahead. I mean, I'm pretty tired. But I'll go ahead and, fight through that. So, pretty well, that's what I was getting accomplished. And, folks, I've sort of caught up on a lot of the programs to where I can go ahead and put what little I do have tonight up. But you have, essentially a Dan Johns essentially admitting that he's of Jew origin. Legal Mamser is Jew-ass cancer, a.k.a. Crohn's. McBragg doesn't want to admit he has Crohn's, but yes, he did. He called it was indigestion. Well, wow. Ain't that neat. But what I've also been doing is I've been fighting over on Stormfront, and I got a sock puppet kicked off named John Reltney. And folks, you have April Gady, and you have Hatting the Meerkat, and you have Wiggerswill, and over on Stormfront, they got a policy that you cannot mention anything about Harold Covington, but yet on the other hand, you can talk about Pioneer Little Europes. Well folks, if you're not going to go ahead and allow the Northwest Imperative to go ahead, you're not going to allow discussion on it to proceed because you don't like Covington, how do you expect to have your little bitty, 5 or 6 person, little pioneer, little Europes go ahead and make it? And the answer is, they don't care and they don't know. They don't really much care to know. Because, hey, it's only important that you have, their own little thing doing well. Doesn't really matter most of the time how things run. And folks, this is our movement for us here. It's just a chicken shit movement. It's just, I'm looking at this here. Greek monks collapse government. So from what I gather, the European thing is going ahead and falling apart too.
I thought we're a kind of moral example for the rest of Greece because
Well, it says the Greek monks go ahead and collapse Greek government. In short, the Greeks are not going to go ahead. I think they're just going to go ahead and default because they understand that they cannot go ahead and continue to go ahead and do it. Okay, Northwest. Well, folks, I don't know if old Rustfur is going to go ahead and call back. I had him talking to me about for 45 minutes. And Northwest, looks like you just came on. Looks like we got another guest logging on. Folks, my problem is that, I was up fairly late. I got my hours screwed up. My hip is, paining me. And today I went to mail off a letter. I parked it at the post office in Granby about a quarter mile or so away. And the car wouldn't go ahead and allow me to turn the key over. That's because of the steering column. The steering column is shot. And so I had to walk halfway home before one of Roxy's nephews went ahead and gave me a ride. And then another one of them, Roxy's nephews, managed to go ahead and start the car, jiggle the wheel. But the $600 Cadillac, it looks like it's going to have another steering column, and fixing it's going to end up costing at least, about $500 or so. So the question is whether I want to do that or not. But as a result, I'm sort of tired. I'm sort of exhausted from doing all that. But I was pretty well, and it'll be on this show. It's been on the last two shows about Crohn's disease. Last night, I was trolling the Dan Johns show. And Dan Johns pretty well admitted that Legal Man 2012, or as I call him, Legal Manzer 2012, was his son. The son indeed had Crohn's disease, so guess what that means? Well, it means that Dan Johns is susceptible to Crohn's disease. Answer, Dan Johns is a Jew, because that's who gets, Crohn's disease. So Alex Linder, he has Crohn's disease. That means he has Jew blood in him. And folks, people are not going to be surprised. I went ahead and I did a search, and when the news got out that Alex Linder got Crohn's, there were a lot of people who said, well, I always knew Alex Linder was a Jew. He hates Christianity, and he especially hates Christian identity. He really does hate Christian identity. So McBragg would never quite admit that he had Crohn's. He just had a heartburn, but he helped old Legal Manzer. Well, the answer is you went ahead and told him how to go ahead and survive Crohn's disease and how to be, change your diet in order to get around having Crohn's disease. McBragg knew full well that he had this disease, which was, commonly associated with Jews. But, folks, Steve Elder knew full well that Brian Reel was a Manzer. Knew full well that Brian Reel was a Manzer, and yet he censors newbies who said, well, I don't think this Brian Reel fellow is white. Well, why is he not white? Right? If he has any, wool or whatever, he's, why is it black? And the answer is, well, hey, somewhere there's a good deal of Jew in Steve Elder's background. So he admitted to having heartburn. So I went ahead and put up the chat from last night, and I'll go ahead and comment on it. But McBragg was a little bit abashed because, hey, I'm finding out more and more about him and that he has, Crohn's disease. What does that mean? Well, he's a proud pick, which means he's a Jew. Okay? So, getting on with this thing here, you have this pretty well, this big fight with Iran. Now folks, they've been talking war with Iran since, almost the whole decade. What they want is that they do want a war with Iran. But on the other hand, they want a war with Pakistan. They want to go ahead and get Pakistan's nuclear weapons. They want to have a fight with Iran. Well, folks, if they can't go ahead and beat a country of 25 million, i.e. the Iraqis, and they can't go ahead and beat a country of 30 million, the Afghans, and that's not the entire Afghan country.
how in the world are they supposed to go ahead and beat 40 million Muslims? How's that supposed to happen? I mean, and the answer is it's not. How are they going to go ahead? Pakistan has, what, 170 billion people? How are they going to go ahead and whoop these 170 billions from their little, you know, sand lot or anything like that? And the answer is they're not. But what they're doing is they are going ahead and causing a commotion and hoping in that commotion that things will change. Okay? So, what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to cause another commotion, but, you know, pretty well, I don't think the Russians and the Chinese believe that. The Iranians are not even dignifying it with a response. They're just simply saying, wow, it seems rather far-fetched here. Like I was telling Russ, most of these Muslims, they know all about how to plant an IED, an improvised explosive device. They know all about car bombing. I mean, that's the main weapons which have gone ahead and, you know, hurt the, you know, Zog Jupes. That's the main one which has hurt the Zog Jupes. But, you know, folks, they're not going ahead and doing a very good job of, you know, doing anything other than these FBI operations are nothing more than FBI sting operations which do not work. What they do is they find some Muslim or they find some nigger and they give him some money and get him greedy and they get him to admit whatever it is that, you know, these so-called interrogators want them to say here. I'm getting pretty tired. I think I'm sort of babbling. I may go ahead and cut the show short tonight. I've sort of caught up on the show. I may go ahead and just go ahead and preach something else here. So the thing is that Iran isn't going to wipe the U.S. off the map. I used to have arguments when I was in Nut House because I was in the missile artillery. I was in the Lance missile section. The Lance missile only had a range of less than 100 miles. These intermediate missiles that Iran has been building have a range of about 1,200 miles. That's not enough to really go ballistic. You know, they're not really ballistic missiles. They're not really intercontinental ballistic missiles. But, here's this, the guy was a pervert. And he used to have arguments with me. And I used to tell him that these missiles didn't require much to be aimed. Now, there's a difference between a missile and a rocket. The difference between a missile and a rocket is that a rocket has its own guidance system. A missile is simply aimed on an azimuth, i.e. a direction, and an elevation, up or down. A missile, you know, that's what a missile is. A rocket ends up having a guidance system. Some of these guidance systems can be fairly accurate, especially if they're nuclear-tipped warheads like my section was a nuclear unit. Okay? But as far as going ahead and targeting them, folks, all they really need is something, you know, I mean, all they really need is just a section of pipe, aluminum pipe, for these small missiles. You know, and pretty well an azimuth, i.e., you know, way to go ahead and, you know, run it. But most of the time, all they need is a little bit of white tape on the bumper of the truck or what have you to go ahead and line the thing out. And then you go ahead and you set the azimuth and elevation on the missile. And like I explained, I mean, how do you know this, you know, this truck here, which cost, $2,000-$3,000, is one which is carrying a missile, or one which is carrying, sandbags? How do you know which one is which? And the answer is you don't. You don't. So pretty well Zog has been allowing the Iranians to surplus a lot of these military munitions and the rest of it. But folks, as far as doing that, why, shoot, all you need is a surveyor.
to go ahead and mark out a firing point, and then what you do is you go ahead and put a piece of tape right in the middle of the truck. Usually a truck would go ahead and haul these missiles just fine. No need for an expensive, APC. A truck would do it just fine. And essentially they go to the firing point and they figure out which way to fire this missile. And so when it's all said and done, it's not that difficult to go ahead and do. Okay? So the answer is I don't think Iran could go ahead and fire, a actual missile. But what Zog is trying to do is Zog is trying to go ahead and force through sanctions this horseshit, which nobody really believes. They believe it's all the Gear setup. And all it takes is Russia and China to just go ahead and veto it to where, hey, things will be the way they want it to be. No problem. No problem. So, where was I? I'm pretty well a little bit tired, but no, as far as Iran pulling it off, essentially Iran doesn't want to pull anything off. All Iran wants to do is, just live in peace. And pretty well, all across Europe or something like that, folks, from what I gather, the Greek government is about to go ahead and collapse. These Greek monks have just gone ahead and says, well, folks, we're not going to go ahead and pay and pay and pay and pay in order to bail out these banksters who have been cheating us from day one. Pretty well, the euro is going to go belly up real quick. And then all the other lenders who believe in lending, no matter how much, how much they take on it and how much, their little collateral has been, reduced. I mean, that sort of borrowing is pretty well going, the way of some other countries here. Not going very well at all. So, you can dream here. So I don't think this Iran thing is going to go ahead and do. What I'm going to do, this Northwest is in. Identities here, one of my sock puppets, John Reltney, a.k.a. the Reltney Identity. Oh, Hadding the Meerkat went ahead and over on Sperm Front, you had this thread, and I was looking at Colonel House over on Covington's thing. I went over to Sperm Front. I made the mistake of getting involved, essentially because for no other reason than because I went ahead and asked, how can you go ahead and advocate a Pioneer Little Europe, a PLE, and at the same time censor Harold Covington's Northwest Front videos? I said, there's no sense to it. If you believe in Pioneer Little Europe's, how are you going to go ahead and fight with Covington? And what's happened with April Gatty is she's become just a simply, well, she hasn't become a drama queen. She always was a drama queen. She is jealous as hell of Axis Sally, calling Axis Sally Covington's little torture queen or something like that. And I think April's problem is that Axis Sally is younger, probably has, firmer tits and a tighter twat. Essentially, April can no longer play Queen Bee. But old Hadding went ahead and discovered that one of my sock puppets was, he thought it was me. And it was. And I got banned from Sperm Front for a year. And the reason I got banned is that, how dare you waited a whole year before you just criticize our policies and you're promoting HC, which means Harold Covington. Folks, this is how chicken shit this movement's become. Now, folks, I don't altogether agree with Harold Covington, but on the other hand, I've been thinking quite a bit, and you have a bunch of intellectuals like Hunter Wallace and a few others. You have these intellectuals talking about how we need to have a homeland. Well, what these people want to do, how they want to go ahead and get the homeland, is they want to whine like pussies for it. They think that whining like a pussy is going to go ahead by, bitching about your snivel rights. Well, Harold Covington at least knows better than that stupid shit.
He knows that Nzog is not going to give up nothing for free. Nothing for free. But let's say you end up having all these characters here, like Hunter Wallace, you know, like Kevin Donald, whatever, decide that they want to go ahead and create a secessionary zone for white people. They want to do what Covington is doing. Well, folks, I got news for you, folks. Hell, Covington has had a decade. He has a decade of work in advance. I don't see how any of these tards are going to go ahead and create what Covington is working on creating ever so hard and ever so slow. If they started yesterday, they still would be a decade behind Harold Covington. And there was this character named Scott Mulger Ernest here, and he looks sort of like a young Covington. He's all bearded and got a lot of hair. And essentially, I went ahead and created a sock puppet for him on my forum. Just pretty well said, hey, I ain't had pussy since pussy had me. Please, April, yes, April, no, April, three bags full, April. All these tards don't see a bit of problem with censorship. How dare you advocate Covington on, sperm front? April won't like that. And in the meanwhile, she's over on VNNF asking how long will Williams last on storm fart? And April doesn't give a crap. She says to somebody, probably this little Scott, Ernest Mulger, went ahead and paid the $60 so she could go ahead and have a sustained membership on Sperm Front. But folks, old April whined like a pussy, and essentially Covington is well on the way of being banned and, censored. And they don't call censorship. We will not promote Covington. We will not allow Covington to be promoted. So pretty well, one of my Reltney identities, one of my sock puppets, got banned because I pretty well questioned, why in the world do we need censorship? And because you're advocating a pioneer little Europe, folks, your little pioneer little Europe is just going to be a small infinitesimal of what? In Kalispell? Is going to be a small infinitesimal of the rest of it. And April is whining herself that, she's been banned and she's being censored on Harold Covington's blogs. Well, April, screech all you want. I don't know. I probably wouldn't censor you, but, shit, if you're going to go ahead and censor other people on Sperm Front and White News Now and the rest of these places, VNNF, what the hell do you come off whining like a pussy about being censored? If you're going to censor, why are you whining like a pussy about, censorship here? Being censorship off of Covington's. I don't know if she is or not. But it looks like she has a problem with Colonel House, and she has a problem with Axis Sally, and she has a problem with Harold Covington. And she also has a problem with Hattie and the Meerkat, and she has a problem with Wiggerswell. She sent back when I was Facebook friends, Why, Covington's just so bad, he's just so mean, I used to be a friend, Look, April don't have any friends, essentially all April has is little meerkats. And she gets tired of the little meerkats, she goes ahead and dumps them. Supposedly, April's all mad at what I've been saying about her on my forum, a few other forums, that she's going to have her husband beat me up. And the answer is, I doubt it. Women who have meerkats, little meerkats, don't choose them for their strength of character. She chooses them because, hey, she can dominate the little meerkats. But folks, this is how chicken shit our movement's gotten here. It doesn't even make any freaking sense. Doesn't make any sense to go ahead and talk about how you're for white rights and you're for this or that, and yet you censor. What good does that do? Does it make any sense? And the answer is no, it does not. Doesn't make a bit of sense at all. But yet you have these people doing it. So, you censored on Oh, okay. Well, I guess Mass 1488 knows what it was, is like to be censored too here. So, okay. Well, you know, I called Spur Front, even old April. She was bitching about how long will old Wiggersville last on us. You know, she calls it Storm Fart. She doesn't have a high opinion of it. By the way, I'm over on White News now. From what I gather, Hadding and April and the rest are trying to get Harold Covington's Northwest thing, you know, banned over on Jamie Kelsall's thing. And old Jamie doesn't want to go ahead and do it. But essentially, Jamie's a big old pussy, so who knows? It might become as bad on Wigger News now as it is on, you know, on Sperm Front. That's what I call it. I call it Sperm Front. And I spell the S with a dollar sign here. But, folks, I wouldn't mind at all if old Sperm Front, you have Don Black whine like a pussy that, you know, fewer and fewer people are spending in money. And from what I gather, they're not really allowing too many new accounts. Luckily, I have a couple more sock puppets to go ahead and listen, so I went ahead and blew the sock puppet. But folks, it's hypocritical as hell to go ahead and claim that you want a pioneer little Europe for what? To go ahead and set up your own little, you know, cult of what, five or six? And from what I gather, April cannot get along with the Christian Identity guy, Carl Garst. Can't get along with Colonel House, and can't get along with the Covingtonistas. Essentially, she wants to be Queen Bee, and she's not really the Queen Bee. She's just, you know, she's just an over-the-hill twat. She wants to go ahead and tell other people what to do. And pretty well, I mean, you know, folks, you know, here's old Hadding, and he's talking about, oh, how he could go ahead and you know, Wiggersville could have had Hadding, you know, Covington's blog spot taken down. Well, folks, yeah, I'm quite sure you could do that. What good does it do? How can you say you're for white people? Now, folks, I don't believe in censorship. I've been pretty well the target of censorship in quite a bit in the last year or so. I was talking to Russ, you know, Gady Stan here. What, you know, Hunter Wallace really, I think Hunter got a little bit, you know, treated a little bit bad by Covington because, well, old Hunter, or Fade, isn't really a hard man at all here. I sort of think is Robert Campbell, who was a real asshole over on Hunter's thing here, you should have had President Robert Campbell, but instead, old Robert Campbell was made a hero. And poor old cut here Wallace was made into the little dude, you know, little perverted little, you know, fat little doofus here with nuts the size of peanuts here. He was all mad. I said, well, I know what you could do. You can go ahead and send an email to Covington, tell them that your testicles are the size of small walnuts, not peanuts. But for some reason, I was trying to make peace with old Hunter and, Covington. And I am over on, Cunt Hair's forum. And, I've never really, you know, I've known old Fade the Butcher, aka, you know, Hunter Wallace, ever since he ran Four Fags Thieves at the beginning of 2005 after I got kicked off of VNNF for fighting with Trader Glenn Miller during the Christmas coup of 2004. So Hunter is not that bad a person. In fact, he's writing some fairly good stuff, but he believes in a Southeast imperative. He believes that the South is going to rise again, and somehow, they're going to find all these slave owners, the white man's going to discover his inner slave owner and get them niggers back to picking cotton or whatever the hell they did here in Alabama. Well, Fade, I got news for you. That's not going to happen. And folks, I don't really mind the Southeast imperative, i.e. shipping all the niggers to the Southeast if we could have peace and have all the niggers go their way on the Southeast. You know, after all, the slave owners who went ahead and decided to allow all these niggers in the country rather than let them drown. I mean, if they wouldn't have bought any niggers, essentially people wouldn't have gone ahead and brought none of them damn niggers. The Jews wouldn't have brought all them damn niggers through Yankee, you know, slave ship captains. So you have more and more, what I'm trying to get at is you have more and more and more whining and begging and pleading, oh please, if only we could have peace with Zog and we could have our own, we could have our own homeland. We could have our own homeland. Okay. Well, how's that going to come about? Whether or not you like Harold Covington, I do sort of like Harold Covington, but let's say you don't like him. You got to understand that Harold Covington has been working at this since, well, really about a dozen years or so. It's really been over a decade. Now, he moved back, as he called it, he went home in 2002. But I remember him talking about that way back in 1999, 2000, something like that. So it's been actually, he's been talking about that for about a dozen years and actually working toward it. And folks, I don't see anybody who has, let's say you decide to go ahead and redo what Harold Covington has already done. You gotta understand that Harold Covington has a dozen years, actually 10 years, and actually 5 years, which are starting to bear fruit. And that if you went ahead and started today, you would be still 10 years behind Harold Covington in getting it done. Okay? Now, I'm not too crazy about, the west portions. I sort of like the eastern portions, which are sort of high plains here. I sort of like the high plains of Washington and Oregon. But, sort of remind me of, parts of Oklahoma and South Dakota. The high plains, that's where my family came from, And, folks, if you live in a place like the Upper Peninsula of Wisconsin or the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I wouldn't advise you going ahead and moving northwest. But on the other hand, if you live a number of states other than that, yeah. And you're young, you don't have any responsibilities, like northwest, why, hey, I don't have a problem with encouraging people to go ahead and follow their dream. I think that Harold Covington has it. But, folks, my point is that Harold Covington has done this, and you have stupid little twats like April Gady, who has a fit, that you have someone, who is younger and probably prettier and not be near as big a slut like Axis Sally. Essentially, Harold Covington is making traction. He's been making traction for a while. Now, some of this traction, like with people like McFag and the rest here, and that's what I was talking about, is McFag has a Jew, has a Jew disease. He's been hiding it, and pretty well I was twitting him last night on Dan Johns about it. So, well, essentially, I'm going to go ahead and make a big deal of that. But, folks, Harold Covington has a full decade of work that has been done that I don't think can be not done, not undone. The only way you could go ahead and have your own little proposal, which would go ahead and work, is if you decided, well, I think I'm going to go ahead and do some of that Northwest Imperative stuff, too. In which case, without being a little twat like, April Gady, what you ought to do is simply understand is that, look, April, you're not very good at administration. You're not very good at really anything. I mean, running around screwing meerkats, causing a commotion. I mean, who needs that crap? The answer is nobody needs it. But you have a few of April's little tards over on Spurfront. They went ahead and banned one of my sock puppets. And, folks, I probably should have kept my mouth shut. Folks, I didn't even dream that it would be that stupid and that petty, but, hey, I was wrong. Spaces and Stormfront, from what I gather, is not making its contributions, that Don Black thinks appropriate. Now, I think Zog, Spermfront is Zog False Front. I think it's paid for. But Don Black ain't going to give us much money. He loves money. He loves that money. He's sort of like Hal Turner.
Turner Broadcasting Network is going to go ahead and go down unless we get $17,000 here. And oh, by the way, I'm telling you this on Friday. If we only got $300 the entire month, and if we don't get $17,500, you know, on or before Monday, Turner Broadcasting will be no more. So then you download, and guess what? Monday, you don't have Hal Turner saying a damn thing about how in the world he managed to go ahead and get $17,500 between Friday and Monday. But somehow he did. Okay? You know, Hal Turner was one hell of a showman. I'll grant you that, but you know, Hal Turner was a big liar. You know, in addition to being a rat, you know, he's a wannabe Zogbot who got screwed by Zog, and he, you know, pretty well deserved a lot of what he ended up getting. Although I do not believe, and I do believe in free speech, and if it had been up to me, or I'd been on the jury, well, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And then what you do is you wait till Hal Turner goes ahead and goes out the back, and then you beat the dog shit out of him with a pal slap. You know, but let Hal remember you. You know, if not fondly, at least remember you. What happens is you should have a rusty nail or a screw in the pallet flat too. But in any case, you know, I hope Hal Turner doesn't go ahead like Bill White managed to go ahead and get out of what he's in, even though Bill White's a lying, worthless asshole too. But, folks, I'm glad that Bill White, you know, managed to go ahead and get out. Not because I like Bill White, I don't. But, when it comes down to it, this bowel movement of ours is run by a bunch of personalities. A bunch of personalities. It's like a whole bunch of little baronies. And everybody has to be queen bee or whatever, king shit, in their own little portion of it. And I don't really mind that so much. I do not believe in unity. Zog's way is unity. What I do believe in, though, is, well, you know, I mean, it's just sort of like, well, Harold Covington. At least Covington runs a, well, he doesn't run a perfectly tight ship. He got old McFag in there. Got a few Jews and Mamzers. But for all practical purposes, he has worked for the better part, you know, over a decade, and he's beginning to have some results. And that's just, oh, so awful for April Gady and for the Sperm Front characters here. And you have these little tards who, you know, I think are just suck going ass to mouth with old April Gady. Yes, April. No, April. Three bags full, April. And it's all together just a waste of time to even argue with these tards. Okay? So, well, Bill White starts, you know, okay. Well, I'm not too crazy about old Bill White, okay? You know, how can you not like your commander? Well, I think your commander has decided he's going to go ahead and stay out of the bowel movement for a while. I haven't heard nary a peep out of him since he got out of jail in April. Okay? So, oh, by the way, don't bother summoning a demon here. First of all, you know, if you did summon a demon, that demon would whip your ass, okay? You don't want to summon a demon. Demons are not your friends, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and take another break, and I don't know really what I want to go ahead and talk about. I'm sort of tired. I'll go ahead and talk about how I'm getting a little bit of bite for people who want to go ahead and interview me. So we'll take a bit of a break, and we'll come back in a little bit. Hail victory. Blow the horn, let Zion hear, for God's day is now at hand. Let the people tremble in this day of clouds and gloominess.
troops so great and mighty strong, there has never been the like. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. Fire before them shall devour, flames ablaze are left behind. Such as Eden was shall become a wilderness that's desolate, like the noise of chariots, and as horsemen do they run. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. People are faint at their sight, for they run like mighty men. Moving each on his own way, they do not tangle in their paths. Each to follow his own line, climbing walls like men of war. Then they charge as warriors and advance like fighters on their way. They upon the city leap, break through weapons each unharmed, run upon the walls and climb in houses, through the windows leap. Earth is quaking as they come, heaven shakes, stars cease to shine. Then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black.
Okay, folks, we're back. I have a email from one of my listeners. It said, "Hey, Martin, how you doing? What would you consider to be the best description of works? I've always had a problem with this one. Is it something that one must stay on top of, like a Boy Scout doing good deeds, or is it more of the way one interacts with people in their daily lives? Thanks, Martin." Okay, what is works? What works is, it involves obeying the law of Yahweh. Now, we're told several times in the Bible that the law of Yahweh is written on the Israelite's heart. It's not written on the Mamzer's heart. It certainly is not written on the Jew's heart. It's written on the Israelite's heart. And what works is it involves obeying Yahweh's law. Now, it involves some cases doing good deeds when it doesn't put you out anything. You are not asked in Yahweh's law to go ahead and be like Benny and Mazarus, Mother Teresa, and go ahead and feed all the nigglets of the world. You're not commanded to do that. But in Israelite time, you were commanded not to go ahead and take everything out of the field, but to go ahead and leave the corners of the field for the traveler and for the poor. That's why you had gleans here. You're supposed to leave probably around, 5 or 10% of your field that you weren't supposed to go ahead and cut down every single thing. You're supposed to leave a portion of it. Now, were you doing good works if you went ahead and obeyed that law of Moses? And the answer is sure you were. Folks, you're supposed to obey the law of Yahweh. And if you're an Israelite, like Jesus Christ said, his burden is light and his yoke is easy. It should be no burden at all. Even if you're an atheist here, fancy yourself an atheist or an agnostic here, if you're white, to act like, quote, an Aryan, like a noble one. That's what the word Aryan meant the noble ones. It is no problem, I've never found it any intolerable thing to not have to go ahead and rob or rape or anything, anybody, because I don't really want to do that. Don't really believe in doing that unless it fulfills a political or religious purpose.
In which case, you know, if Yahweh commands me to be, and Yahweh does command me to be mean to the Uyghurs or the Manzers and the rest here. But folks, obeying, you know, works is obeying Yahweh's law. And folks, we're not talking about a Pharisaical sense or the Roman Catholic sense to where you sin in order, you know, like the Roman Catholics. It's sort of like the, you know, Dr. Nicolantes here, or Doctor of Rasputin, to where God wants to forgive you, but he can't forgive you unless you sin. So in order to be forgiven and loved a lot, you have to sin a lot. And you sin and sin and sin and sin so that, you know, God will go ahead and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And that goes to show that God loves you because you're sinning an awful lot. Well, no, that ain't the way things work. That's the sort of sinning mamzer who wants to go ahead and do this. Now, as far as the Pharisaical essence come in, I've seen a lot of these mamzers come in, and they're so Pharisaical. How dare you say fuck? How dare you say shit? That's a Jew word answer. Well, no, it's not a Jew word. It's an Anglo-Saxon monosyllable, which pretty well is used, as I use it, to pretty well describe certain things. Okay? So, you have all these people, you know, and these Pharisees, what they were, is that the ones who were in charge of making the sacrifices when Israel disobeyed the law, ancient Israel, you have all these things, especially in Leviticus, because that was for the Levitical priesthood. You have all these things, you'll go ahead and make a wave offering, you'll go ahead and make, you know, depending on how rich you are, you can go ahead and give a dove for sacrifice, or you can go ahead and give a bullock for sacrifice. You had blood sacrifices, you had meal offerings, you had all these agricultural offerings, which you were supposed to do. Now, in the time of ancient Israel, there was no such thing as the belief that if you were good, you would get to go to paradise. No. Obeying the law meant you would have a long life, a relatively happy life, strong children, strong sons, beautiful daughters, and that you would go ahead and get to enjoy your vine, your fig tree, because Yahweh would go ahead and fight your battles for you. Now, most of the Israelites, just like today, were just a bunch of Uyghurs, and they couldn't bother to obey. But it was the Levites who were in charge of going ahead and getting these sacrifices, and here come these base-born. In the case of Jeroboam, he went ahead and appointed these base-born people in order to supplant the Levites, because he didn't want these Israelites going back down to Jerusalem now that he had gotten the northern 10 tribes. So as a result, he ended up losing the Levites as well. He ended up losing the Simeonites because the Simeonites were south of Judah, and therefore, essentially, Judah was not really surrounded, but rather it absorbed Simeon. So, essentially, Judah was Judah, Benjamin, Simeon, and he ended up getting the Levites too, because the Levites were made unwelcome, even in the land of Israel, because he set up these golden calves from one end of the kingdom to the rest. He didn't want them going down to Jerusalem as he looked at getting back with Rehoboam, getting back with the house of David. So essentially he ended up losing the Levites as well, because Levites were supposed to be paid a tithe, not of money, but of the agricultural products. So you had these base-born people who were setting themselves up as religious authorities, and these Edomites, and what we know is modern Judaism is based on the Talmud. These, quote, rabbis, who were always set up, you know, who came back from Babylon, who, you know, with Ezra and Nehemiah, who, you know, these Edomites who were already there, who Ezra and Nehemiah had to fight against the race mixing in with them. And what they did is they set up their own religious system here. Now, folks, if you go ahead and look at the book of Job, you understand that Job had to find out very much the hard way Job. Oh, okay. Looks like old Mona is in here. Okay, Mona. I'm getting on. I'm going ahead and talking. I'm pretty well talking about Christian Identity, and I'll, Mona. If you go ahead and call in, it won't be very good because, you know, generally I have to go ahead and give you the home phone address. But looks like Mona Montgomery showed up here. She got my email. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and get back to about the, you know, the matter that works. Let's say you go ahead and obey all the law of Yahweh. You don't find that much trouble, but you go ahead, you go pretty well head and shoulders above, and you really obey it quite a bit. Well, what is the book of Job about? And the book of Job was about that regardless of how much good you do, how much good works you do, when it comes down to it, when compared with the majesty of Christ and of Yahweh, all your good works amount to nothing more than, quote, filthy rags. That's all it is, filthy rags. Because no matter how hard you work, even no matter how noble you are, compared to Yahweh or Jesus Christ, it's nothing more than filthy rags. So, folks, Talmudism, and simply going ahead and setting yourself up because you are obeying the law of Yahweh, you know, just like a bunch of Jews. There's no sense in Jews going ahead and cutting off a portion of their dick, of keeping the Sabbath, of having two plates between, you know, one thing and the other, because, hey, folks, they're not Israelites. They're not of the house of Israel. They're just simply Canaanite Jews. For all practical purposes, they might as well go ahead and enjoy as much pork as they want without feeling guilty, you know, like I do when I go ahead and indulge in a bit of bacon. It's not works which is going to go ahead and bring you into the kingdom of heaven. But yes, you do need to go ahead and obey Yahweh's law, and it shouldn't be a problem with you if you're an Israelite. Remember? The law of Yahweh is written on your heart. You should understand how to behave. It's not really a big problem. Not really a big problem at all. But folks, like Paul said, it's by grace are you saved. You have to be extended grace. Now, I've ridiculed Dan Johns quite a bit because he's a Jew and a Mamzer. And his kid, I found out, has Crohn's disease. And so does McFag. But, folks, you know, Commander McBragg, also known as Son of the Mist, is Cannot Pictish Jew Mamzer who has Crohn's disease. We had a little bout of it. That's why I got to laugh. But, folks, like they were saying, what is your fruits? Trolls don't have good fruits. They disrupt my wonderful show. Well, folks, it's not by juicy fruits. Here you have these people thinking that if as long as they go ahead and follow these works, the Jews are going to get in by following works. And the answer is no. They're the spawn of Satan. They can go ahead and have... I mean, if a white man's a true Israelite's, all of his works are filthy rags, what do you think a Jew or a Mamzer's is? Well, it's even less than filthy rags. It's by grace are you saved. But folks, you're not going to be extended the gift of grace, because grace is something that is not really earned. There's no way you can earn grace. Not through any works. That's why it doesn't do a Jew any good to do good deeds or anything like that here. It might go ahead and do other non-whites a benefit to obey the law of Yahweh, because the law of Yahweh is just simply good sense. It's simply how one should act. But it's not works that's going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. It is by grace. But you're not going to be extended grace unless you are the proper race. And some people say that's unfair. Well, folks, Romans chapter 9 says is that it's not the fault of Yahweh that he made some clay into vessels of wrath, i.e. the Edomites. Esau. For Israel I loved, and Esau I hated. And it's not that some clay is to be made into vessels of mercy. But rather, the fault does not lay in the potter, even if the fault does, you cannot say lies in the clay. It is Yahweh's will, and Yahweh's will alone. So you cannot choose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ chooses you. And folks, I don't know if people can understand that, because I have seen, you know, as a child I was in the Worldwide Church of God, and I would see people who had just got converted, and they had to go out and bring in all their relatives and all their friends and relatives got to where they didn't want to see this guy no more, because here he is trying to get me go to Herbert's church to go ahead and give 30 or 40% of my income. You know, and no, I don't want to go ahead and go to the Church of Holy Herbert, you know, screw you. And I suppose as a child, I never felt the need to go ahead and proselytize anybody. And I still don't. You cannot, you know, you do not get to choose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gets to serve you, you know, gets to choose you. So therefore, regardless of your works, it's by grace are you saved. Now on the other hand, after here, and Paul went ahead and admitted that he would be, and he was, charged with, how dare you? You are no better. You were raised in these rabbinical schools. You served at the feet of Gamaliel the First. You ought to know better. And when Paul was a Pharisee, or when he was Saul, the Pharisee, he went ahead and applied the law of Yahweh against the disciple who wasn't, you know, put in place of Judas, i.e. Stephen. Paul, or Saul, overseen righteous Stephen's stoning. And Jesus Christ said, well, hey, I just need to go ahead and convert, you know, Saul and turn him from Saul the Pharisee into Paul the Christian. And he did. And Paul, as a result of that, was accused many times of going overboard from being a Talmudic or proto-Talmudic Pharisee, because in Jesus Christ's day, the Talmud was not written because it was competing with the actual law of Moses. So it was the proto-Talmud, it was the proto-Mishnah, and it wasn't until AD 71 that one of these Edomite Jew rabbis got permission from the Romans to set up a religious school, and they first started taking these oral traditions of men and writing them down. That was the introduction. But back in the time of Jesus, they didn't dare write down all their little rabbi horseshit, their little, you know, cavilling and the rest of the stuff here, thinking that works would go ahead and get you into the kingdom of God. But, on the other hand, Paul went ahead and admitted several times he was accused of doing away with the law. Just like it says in Matthew chapter 5, anybody who goes ahead, not one jot or tittle shall pass until all be fulfilled. And those who go ahead and preach that the law has been done away with, they will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And those who, you know, preach the law will be magnified. Folks, Jesus Christ went from saying Moses allowed you to divorce, but I tell you, if you go ahead and look at a woman with lust in your heart, you are going ahead and committing adultery in your heart. You see, Jesus Christ went ahead and extended salvation under this new covenant. So as a result, he expanded the law from not just merely obeying the letter of it, but not the spirit, to where you have to obey the letter and the spirit of the law. But it's not the law, obeying the law, that's going to go ahead and save you. It's grace. Now, Paul went in quite a bit, by grace are you saved, by grace are you saved, by grace are you saved. And in reaction to that, James went ahead and James chapter 2 says, hey, you know, faith without works is dead. You have to have works. You know, you say you have faith. Well, let me see your works. And that was, well, I think a reaction to Paul's, you know, by grace are you saved. Peter got a little bit on Paul, you know, on Paul's case about that. Folks, you have to have some works here. The works, but the works should not be a problem because remember the law of Yahweh is written on the Israelites' heart. So it's a matter of both good works. You have to obey Yahweh's law. You have to make more than it pretends to obeying Yahweh's law. It should, when you don't obey Yahweh's law, it should hurt, it should irk you a little bit. It should sting your conscience a little bit. Just like I feel a little bit guilty every time, every so often here, I go ahead and ain't worried too much about, you know, what I eat at McDonald's. But, you know, folks, the works are necessary, but by far is the grace. But folks, you're not going to get extended the grace unless you have the race. And once you have the race and the grace and the works, you will be a Christian and you will go ahead and you will receive eternal life. So it's a mixture of three here. Now, I don't want to use the Trinity, but you have to have the works, you have to have the grace. And you will not be extended the grace unless you have the race. Okay? I haven't mentioned Christ. I've mentioned Christ several times. Okay? So, I hope that I went ahead and answered C.A. Mann's, question about that here. Okay. And C.I., you're allowed to eat non-whites. Why would you want CI or not, why do you want a nice hunk of nigger? I mean, why would you want to eat, you know, why would you want to eat non-whites? Why would you want anything to do with non-whites? No problem. Okay? Which Judas here? Okay, by grace are you saved here, but you're not going to be extended grace unless you're the proper race. This is what gets me, is that all these little, you know, this is especially bad in Christian identity. You have this character, I call, you know, he called himself, you know, James the Just, named after Christ's own brother who was one of the administrators of the early church. James the Just. Essentially, he was the administrator of the church, early church from Jerusalem. Jesus Christ's own brother. And I ended up calling him Judas the Juiced. I said, look, you must be a Mamzer or something like that. And he would go ahead and do all this Talmudic crapola, go ahead and get down. Well, when I was young and I talked like that, my Anglo-Mestizo grandmother would wash my mouth out with soap. Well, maybe she did. You know, unlike, you see, in Israel, women are not supposed to go ahead and tell men what to do. Certainly not once they reach the age of some maturity, like say the age of 14 or 15 or so. I mean, a boy goes out from being under any mother's dominion, not that he really was supposed to be under a mother's dominion, to being his own man, to where a woman is not supposed to tell him what to do. And that is implicitly understood among whites. Folks, you have all this pretense. You have you have Commander McBragg. The character has Crohn's. He goes ahead and he hides it. He goes ahead and understands what the Crohn's is like. He helps little Jew boys like Legal Mamzer 2012, Dan John's son. He goes ahead and helps them out. Because, hey, it's just a fellow Jew helping another fellow Jew. But here he is pretending to be an Israelite. Folks, why make a pretense? The Pharisees used to make pretense. And Jesus Christ nailed them on their pretense. About how this is how you pray here. And here is, you know, here's a little publican, a little tax collector. Pretty well despised, just like most tax collectors were. Oh, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Whereas the Pharisee went ahead and said, oh, I tithe, I do this, I do that, I do all this wonderful stuff. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Have you ever seen any more, you know, anybody more wonderful than me, 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 me? Well, Jesus Christ said that he thought more of the prayer of the publican, sinner, who knew he was a sinner, than he did the Pharisee who thought he was more righteous than God, smarter than God, dumber than dirt, like I say about Wiggers. Living a Christian life should not be difficult if you are one of those to whom Christ has called. Now, there are people who say, well, you're a horrible man, for you advocate all these horrible things. And no, I don't believe in having mercy on regime criminals. I don't believe in having mercy on Jews. I don't have, you know, believe in having mercy on mamzers and snitches and the rest. And there needs to be a harsh reckoning for those who go ahead and dare go ahead and be and try to destroy Yahweh's sacred servant nation. And some things are going to be rather rough. What I was talking about in the early part of the program about April Gady and Stormfront and all the rest here going ahead and banning one of my sock puppets simply because I went ahead and made the point, why do you want to be known for being for censorship? I mean, even if you don't like Harold Covington, if you don't like his videos, you don't like his Northwest Front videos or something, don't look at Harold Covington's stuff here. Just say, screw you, Tubby, and have at it. But how can you go ahead and whine about how whites are not being treated right and all this here if you're going to go ahead and believe in censorship? Censorship is of the Jews, like Russ Walker says, okay? What's my favorite method of torture? I don't know. Whatever needs to be done at the time here. Okay? So, favorite brand of... And the answer is that, hey, I have said a number of things and I don't go ahead and take any of them back. Certain horrible things need to be done to regime criminals. To where, rather than that they should continue to do evil, that they should be put in their place here and that Uyghurs should be put in their place too. Most of the stuff is not going to be the day-to-day, Felix Dzerzhinsky. What did he deal with? And the answer is he deals with the didos of the worst of, 25% of regime criminals. He slaughtered 250,000 regime criminals and their families in 19 months as head of his, of his Cheka, of his All High Soviet Commission for the Combating of Counter-Revolution and Sabotage. And he exterminated every single policeman all the way from the Volkhov village up to the Tsar. He did what needed to be done. But like it says in Ezekiel chapter 9, that this stuff will go ahead and occur among the house of Israel first. When he goes ahead and tells this scribe to mark the forehead of all those who are not, who do not belong, who are not going ahead and praying and, begging for the great tribulation, for the tribulation to occur. And by the way, start at my house first. Folks, you do not want to go ahead and be a faker in the house of Yahweh, because the purge starts there. That's why throughout this bowel movement, I've gone ahead and given the hardest time to those mamzers and Jews who claim to be Christian identity who are not. To the Eli Jameses and the William Finks and the Brian Rios and the Commandor McFags. Far more than I have to say Targe over on VNNF for Sperm Front or wherever here. White News Now, whatever. But looking at these retards, you got to understand is they're not going very far. They're not getting anywhere. This bowel movement of ours, I don't think it's meant to go ahead and go very far. I think that Yahweh intends that this great tribulation should go ahead and by simply things falling apart, that 99.9999% of humanity dies in this great tribulation. And since they're not, since they don't have a soul, once they're gone, they're gone. That's that. You gotta understand is that Yahweh was the same God who went ahead and burnt to death 2- and 3-year-old baby girls in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now were those 2- and 3-year-old baby girls, were they part of the men of Sodom? Did they go ahead and seek to rape the angels of Yahweh? The answer is no, they didn't. Are you gonna say that they were innocent? Well, does it really matter? Did they not die? Did they not die in the fire and the brimstone which came raining out of the skies? Did they not die with their sinning fathers and sinning mothers? And the answer is sure they did. There is no such thing as innocence in a civil war. There's no such thing as innocence in a great tribulation. There's only sides, one side or the other. Okay? What do I think of Greg Johnson? There's some stuff I like about Greg Johnson. What I mainly like is even though he's a homosexual, he at least has enough sense to be where he has enough sense to be on the homo reservation of Sandbags Crisco. So it's sort of hard to go ahead. I mean, you know, homosexuality is a mortal sin. But if you're going to be a faggot here, you at least ought to have enough sense to go ahead and go to Sandbags Crisco where you belong with the other faggots rather than be like Cousin Randy Turner and bother 8 people here in McClellan Park in Joplin. How's that? Now, you got to wonder, even Harold Covington's thing, if he might simply have what, you know, sort of like cities of refuge to, well, okay, you're a fudge packer. Folks, take your fudge packing act to one of these cities to where, hey, you're just assumed to be a fudge. If you're there, you're assumed to be a fudge packer, even if you're not a fudge packer. And essentially what it boils down to is that, you know, Christian identity, folks, we don't really believe in having a police force here. We're not looking at people's bedrooms. We're not spying on people. We're not altogether worried about what people think, because most people don't. As long as they go ahead and obey what they're supposed to do and they keep their mouth shut, essentially, you know, you're always going to have these sort of people. And, you know, I mean, if they have enough sense to go ahead and remove themselves to where there's other people here, why, you know, pretty well going ahead and slaughtering them where they're at, where they belong among their own kind, is sort of low on my, you know, priority list here. You know what I mean? So, okay. Is he part of there? What happens is that what Greg Johnson is doing is he's actually doing a service. He's far more little intellectual, you know, but then again, what do you expect of homos? He's far more, quote, intellectual, you know. That's why I tried to explain is that people like myself and Pastor John Britton, you know, Hitler did not have a high opinion of intellectuals. Most people who are men of action don't have a high opinion of intellectuals. I mean, someone like me and Pastor John Britton, hey, why don't you go out and shoot Jews, you know, on the Eastern Front? Well, hey! That sounds like a good deal. Bang, 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 bang. You know what I mean? We're not over-intellectualizing. We're doing what needs to be done. And so I'm somewhat of an intellectual, but on the other hand, I don't have too much use for them. Now, what Greg Johnson does is that, from what I gather, he publishes a whole bunch of books here, a little made print to order. He had one with Harold Covington's in French here. Well, I'm not going to buy one because, hey, I don't speak frog. Besides, I already printed out my share, and he went ahead and sent me a copy of the white book. From my gear, he's sort of making it quasi-public. And it looks a bit different than what I see in the third or second or whatever edition here that I got to look at while I was locked up in the nut house. So, no, I mean, he fulfills a fairly good function in going ahead and getting racialist material printed to order. I mean, it seems to me that what he is, he's an egghead who runs a web page and who runs a printing operation and out of San Francisco, Crisco. And so I don't have a problem with Greg Johnson here. I mean, I've never met Greg Johnson. I don't ever look forward to meeting Greg Johnson. So Greg Johnson is not a problem to me. He sort of supports Harold Covington, and you have old Hanning and Wiggerswill and April Gady and the rest of them having a fit about it here. I imagine he's probably a bigger friend to Harold Covington than he is to me. But, you know, he's not exactly an enemy of mine. Okay? So, is he part of the bowel movement? Yeah, I'd say he is part of it here. Okay. Anyway, number. Well, we have a troll. Anyway, maybe one of these days, I have an interview with a little. Well, let me go ahead and see how much I got left here. Let me go ahead and make a stop here. I think I've got my second wind here, folks.
How excellent in all the earth, Lord our Lord is thy name. Who hast thy glory far advanced above the starry frame. From mouths of babes and infants, Lord, strength by thee is ordained, so that thy enemies be crushed, thy vengeful foes restrained. When I look up unto the heavens, which thine own fingers framed, unto the moon and to the stars, which were by thee ordained, then say I, what is man, that thou should be mindful of him? Or what the son of man, that thou so kind to him should be? For thou hast made him little less than the angels above, with glory and with dignity, with honor crowned his head. Appointed Lord of all thy works, all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and beasts that in the field do stray.
Okay, folks. This is the next section of the Movement Turf. Voice of Retards, I believe. You know, he calls Voice of Reason. I think it's another Jew false front. From what I gather, this Mike Connor here, his original name was Mike Cohen. Another little Jew boy who essentially wants to go ahead and run Zog's false fronts as he sees fit. That's fine. About a month ago, here's Mona. I see Mona Montgomery is on here tonight. About a month ago, here was old Cindy Steele over on Eli James's. And when I was trolling, I said, let's do an interview such as never has been done before. She went ahead and asked me about it. And I says, well, I've gone ahead and listened to a couple of your interviews, including this one tonight on Eliers. And essentially, it amounts to the same thing. Edgar Steele is innocent. Oh, how could he have been railroaded? How could he have been treated so badly? Oh, this is such a wonderful thing. You know, how could this have happened? And for someone who was locked up for 3.5 years in Nut House in a jail with criminals, to essentially where they were trying to go ahead and railroad me and send me to prison and be murdered there as a child molester and a rapist. Now, racist, not a rapist. Child molester, you know, and a racist. Folks, Zog does whatever the hell it can do. Now, for example, a week or so ago, they went ahead and killed this raghead who used to be a moderate raghead that they were using. This raghead got pissed off because essentially Zog was lying and lying and lying and killing his people. So what does he do? He is talking bad stuff about Zog. So Zog goes ahead and essentially murders him by, you know, murders an American citizen by, you know, firing a drone. And you have all this whining and pissing and moaning about that. Okay, why? You see, if you're going to go ahead and have killing and murder or the rest here, fine. That's the way Zog Babylon is. I'm quite sure if I end up having the power, I'd go ahead. I mean, I am altogether for this great tribulation killing 130 million Uyghurs and 170 million Muds. So rather than whine about being tortured or something like that, like I told Cindy, you know, Steele, my interview would be, yeah, we had this discussion back in 2004 when Edgar Steele came up with defensive racism. And he annoyed a bunch of us Christian identity people by saying, you cannot have a rational discussion of race with Christian identity people. Well, what do you mean by rational? I mean, the Christian identity position isn't that they're, you know, that these beasts of the field are evil, like Jews. Our position is that they're just simply beasts of the field. They do not belong in white society. They should never have been taken out of Africa. They should never have been allowed to cross the Rio Grande. They should never be allowed to go infest America. Their presence is a curse. It's a curse because, well, Joshua did not take care of all the Canaanites. He said that you would be, because you didn't obey Yahweh's law, you would be brought very low, and the racial alien would be put very high above you. And essentially, these beasts of the field are acting like beasts of the field. Just like these, you know, these Jews and the rest, Shabbos Uyghurs, are acting like a bunch of criminals. So rather than go ahead and whine, you know, about how Edgar's been screwed, I mean, I've gone ahead and back on July 3rd of 2010, I had a pretty well big blow up with Jim Giles, Roid Rage Retard. And pretty well I ended up fighting with old Mona about it, and I think Mona, for whatever reason, believes Edgar Steele is guilty. And, you know, folks, I don't think I can convince, you know, Mona Montgomery that he is, you know, not guilty, okay? I'm not going to go ahead and bother with that. Essentially, I want to go ahead and review this argument I had in 2004 to where he was talking about New America and how we ought to go ahead and set up under the same constipation and bill of goods that served us oh so poorly. And I said that what we ought to do is we ought to go with the flow of history, allow this collapse to occur, and essentially use this great tribulation as a means of, you know, don't worry about the form of government. Worry about the sort of people we have. And I want, you know, I went ahead and, you know, Edgar would not debate with me. Rather, Edgar Steele sent me out a book, Defense of Racism, you know, to Martin, who shows the character of matter here, for an honest review. Well, I gave Edgar Steele an honest review. I said that, hey, Edgar, I mean, it's a real good book for Uyghurs. It's a real good book to whip up the Uyghurs, but don't do a dang thing for me. Don't make my dick hard or nothing. Essentially, what you're doing is you're telling me old, you're telling me old stuff here, and I'm not even going to get annoyed at the thing on page 14 about how you can't have a rational discussion with race with us Christian identity types. You've already whined about how Yahweh commanded the Israelites to kill the Canaanites. Kill, 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 kill. A lot of people were annoyed. Didn't you learn a single thing from Pastor Richard Butler? And obviously not. Edgar Steele's problem, and I think that's exactly what it is here. He's still whining that he was, well, essentially denied his constitutional and Bill of Goods rights. And how these criminals essentially treat Edgar Steele like he's a retard because he believes that he is special because he is a lawyer. And here they are spying on his lawyer exchanges. They're spying on this and they're spying on that. And folks, every criminal knows that Zog does whatever the hell it wants to do. It's a little constipation, Bill Goods, doesn't mean a damn thing, anything, any more than it meant a damn thing to John Adams here when he signed the Alien Sedition Acts here. You talk bad about John Adams, you talk bad about the Federalists, you go to jail. The ink on the constipation wasn't even a decade old before they were violating the constipation, the Bill of Goods, with the Alien Sedition Acts here. Why do you tars believe that the constipation protects you from something? You know, David Lane, for example, said, well, it don't mean nothing. There's no enforcement mechanism. In fact, I think the enforcement mechanism was taken out of it by doing away with bills of attainder, by doing away with forfeiture of blood. Because I remember the movie Cromwell. It had Sir Alex Guinness and Richard Harris as Cromwell. And pretty well they forced Charles I to go ahead and chop off the head of this hatchet man, Somerset. You know, pretty well tell old Cromwell, you chop off the head of your Somerset, of Somerset for being your hatchet man, or we're going to go ahead and chop off your head, Charles. And sure enough, later on, old Cromwell did go ahead and have old Charles's head chopped off. But folks, a bill of attainder to where, hey, some regime criminal is being mean to you, and now he's lost power. To where you go ahead, you go against him, his family, his estate, with forfeiture of blood and the taint of blood. Folks, those English customs here of civil war were the very things which went ahead and created a constitutional limited government. That's what went ahead and created, essentially, to where, if you go ahead and look, the children of Israel rebelled against their, quote, their government, and they said, ain't my government. Essentially, what happens is I don't mind if a new pretender comes up, kills the old king, and then turns as bad as the old one here because, hey, 99% of us are not involved in what form of government. We're going to have a monarchy. We went ahead and asked for one under, when Samuel was around because, hey, his kids didn't turn out to be nothing. And Yahweh told us, hey, you're going to regret this. But, yeah, I'm going to give you one. Folks, if I'm anything, I'm an Oliver Cromwell type monarchist here. If the government goes ahead and does bad, you go ahead and you exterminate, the entire family of the regime criminals. You tell them is that there is no provision for forgiveness for you here. You go ahead, you do something wrong, while your entire family will be exterminated, so all your running and all your cunning and all your sleazing and all your thieving ain't going to do you a damn bit of good. You went around bringing Jews to go ahead and, do us wrong, well, you're gone. And folks, the Stuarts are about, from what I gather, the only dynasty in the history of the world that got a second act. They got a second chance. I'm not counting the Bourbons. Essentially, they were imposed. I'm talking about the Stuarts freely being given a second chance. And pretty well screwing it up. Being run off. And he'll cut to him talking about the Jacobites, where they tried to go ahead and get a third chance, against the will of the people. The Stuarts were given a second chance with the consent of the governed, and essentially they screwed it up. They got run off. You know, they didn't mind Charles II essentially screwing all sorts of whores, because essentially it didn't matter. He's just a licentious king who's practicing popery in secret here. It was when James II was going to go ahead and practice popery openly here, they had a shit fit about that, and pretty well brought in the boyfriends of James's daughters to go ahead and rule. Had enough of that crap. Weren't going to have any more of it. Anyway, so Roxy ain't feeling too good. Anyway, so any debate, I said, let's have a debate to where how responsible is the population for what the government does? I view that the population needs to go ahead and die for what, this regime does. And I would go ahead and point out, 2 Samuel, I believe, chapter 21, to where Yahweh starved out the people of Israel for 3 years because of what Samuel had done. And so a number of people of Israelites died in this famine, which lasted 3 years. And then at the very end, the solution was to hang Saul's sons and grandsons for the crime that Saul committed against these Gibeonites, who were Amorites, who were Jews. Well, Cindy, I said, but Cindy, you need to go ahead and talk to your husband about this and see whether or not he wants to go ahead and have a debate, because, hey, essentially you're going to go ahead and be repeating his position. And I think Edgar Steele's position is that, oh, no, we can't go ahead and have a no-holds-barred civil war against Zog. I could be wrong. I have not bothered to, re-ask Cindy Steele. What Cindy Steele does is she goes from place to place to place, to bowel movement leader, to bowel movement leader, to bowel movement leader, like Jamie Kelso, 5, 10, 15 times, and whine about, oh, what the government is doing to poor Edgar. Folks, poor Edgar has never gotten over being a special nobility, i.e. lawyers. And he's not able to go ahead and get over it. Edgar is not really a revolutionary, no matter how much he talks. Essentially, Edgar is a wigger whimperer. You're going to get these wiggers, you're going to go ahead and whip them up to a fury, and these little wiggers will go ahead and put their shit-encrusted teeth, tails in their stupid teeth here, and chase their tails like a cow with mad cow disease, chasing its tail and its teeth here. Nothing will get done. So, essentially, that's what I sort of think will go ahead and happen. I wanted to have a different debate as to whether or not Edgar had learned something from his little sojourn in jail. And the answer is that I think Edgar is a dog who's too old to learn new tricks. Now, I told him I thought Edgar was innocent. But like I told Jim Giles, and like I told Mona Montgomery, and like I told Hadding, it doesn't matter to me whether he's innocent or guilty. If he had been caught on the streets of Sagal with a bag full of, Cindy's head, mother-in-law's head, Morse D's head, some Jew heads, and some pig heads, and some, Mamzer heads, and some Beaner heads, well, I'd still say it was all together set up. Because, as far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as innocence or guilt. There's only sides. It depends on which side you are on. Altogether. Look, Piggy, if you don't like what's going to end up happening to you, is this going to happen to you? It's the same thing which went ahead and went around during revolutionary France and revolutionary Russia. If you don't like what's going to go ahead and go around, don't start the shit. Now, in Covington's last podcast, he's sort of thinking he's going to go ahead and change some pigs. Well, folks, I don't really care, Harold, whether or not you want to go ahead and forgive some pigs. What if some of your followers who are joining you because, hey, they want a free hand to go ahead and kill pigs, I don't see any pigs going ahead and be given a chance to surrender. It'd be sort of like on the Eastern Front where essentially the, you know, the Waffen-SS never surrendered to the Russians. Because they weren't going to go ahead and get, you know, these Russians were not inclined to be merciful. And folks, I'm not inclined to be merciful to regime criminals who went ahead and destroyed. I'm not inclined to be nice to baby regime criminals. I don't want their money. I want the heads and their pelts. And I would like to go ahead and skin them out and get them. 1 millimeter at a time without any anesthesia. If you can't go ahead and pay the price here, well, I'll go ahead and get to where you will pay it. One way or the other. Folks, I'm alive because I hate. I'm alive because Yahweh decided to let me live so that I could go ahead and fulfill my oath to Yahweh when my grandchildren were stolen, that I would do whatever it takes to go ahead and make sure that every regime criminal and anybody who supports them, they and their family would be sent screaming to hell. And I'm not a man who's going to go ahead and be forestalled from this. You see, I'm not someone who loves this system at all. I understand, like any true Christian identity pastor understands, is that this is not the first Zog. This is not the first time in history this has happened. It happened during Noah's day, where essentially Noah was very much a minority, to where essentially him and his family were about the only pure whites left under the first Zog Babylon. Not in Europe, but rather in the Tarim Basin. And the second Zog Babylon was set up under Nimrod, designed to go ahead and destroy the Aryan, the white, the Adamite race. But instead, Yahweh went ahead and confounded their tongue so it would not happen. There is no such thing as unity in this movement. There is nothing more than just local people, local barons, all jealous of each other, fighting and pissing and moaning and shitting on each other. And, folks, all we have now is little Hattie the Meerkat, who is shitting on Edgar Steele because, oh no, he said some harsh things to Joe Fields and Kevin Alfred Strom. I mean, Hattie's two hatreds, number one is of Covington, number two is of Edgar Steele. And Mona, I went ahead and seen how old Jim Giles puts you in virtual jail. And Mona, he did that because Jim Giles is nuts. Jim Giles is a roid rage retard. Jim Giles, you know, arguing and reasoning with Jim Giles is like arguing and reasoning with a rhinoceros. It's not going to happen. Okay? Well, Mona, I'm not quite sure what your question was here. Well, you can think like Hattie. Hattie is just like I call them the loveless Matoid meerkat. There's not much love in Hattie's soul for anything. It's just altogether what Hattie wants to go ahead and believe. And Hattie will lie. Hattie lies quite a bit about Covington. And Hattie was kicked out, but now he's let back on the little Guido, the gut-sick Guido Kiken weasel with Jew-ass cancer, Alex Linder. Essentially, that Edgar Steele thread of BNNF has turned into nothing more than Polly the Parrot, Zog Parrot, and Hattie shitting on Edgar Steele. Now, anyway. So, getting on with it here. Hattie's on VNNF. Yeah. Okay. His name is Don Pauly. They're up to thread 114, but around thread 110. Essentially, Pauly the Zog Parrot and Hattie went ahead and reveals why they hate Edgar Steele. They hate Edgar Steele because in 2007... he went ahead and shit on Joe Fields, who pled guilty to, it had something to do with talking, not very nicely to a child. It was essentially, you know, he was pleading guilty to supposedly he went ahead and got some little beaner skanks here to, you know, play in a pornographic movie or something like that. And folks, if you go ahead and look at it, Deidre Fields was in the same position as Cindy Steele is now. Deidre Fields was certainly said, hey, Joe simply couldn't afford the lawyer bill. Joe had to plead guilty, not because he was guilty, but because Zog was too much for him. If you go ahead and read what Deidre Fields wrote to Edgar Steele, well, folks, Deidre Fields was in 2007 in the same position as Cindy Steele is in 2011. And some of this, I guess, you know, some of this stuff, like I say, what goes around comes around. Edgar Steele is in even worse position than Joe Fields is. So I was going ahead looking. I was wanting to shit on Hatting. I was wanting to shit on Don Polly the Parrot. And the problem of it is I still want to go ahead and shit on him. I want to go ahead and tear off old Hatting's little, you know, little pencil, you know, thin neck here and shit down his little pencil thin neck still. Because as far as I'm concerned, he's just a little self-serving little traitor. But on the other hand, you know, folks, I went ahead and looked at how Edgar Steele treated old Deidre Fields, the wife of Joe Fields. And I'm struck about how much Deidre Fields was to Cindy Steele. Where my husband, you know, I mean, she pretty well said the same thing. Hey, I'm sticking by my man, and, you know, pretty well Edgar said, oh, well, go ahead and do that. So I'm not quite sure if Edgar has learned anything or not. Maybe he hasn't. Okay? So, well, to Gerald Loeffner is a nut. He's a Jew nut. He got Jew schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is sort of like Crohn's here. I mean, it sort of screws up the mind here. The Jews invented, you know, schizophrenia. Now it's spread to wiggers and niggers of all things here. Usually, I've seen a few schizophrenic niggers. You know, usually niggers don't get schizophrenia. Usually what happens, they're just violent animals. But I did see this one nigger who thought it was Jesus Christ and he had schizophrenia here. You know, you go ahead and tell schizoid. What happens? He's listening to little voices in his head, and he thinks he's their angel. So what happens? A real schizo. You know, what happens? His eyes will be up, you know, up at the ceiling here. His nose will be up, you know, right up there. I mean, you wouldn't think that somebody could tip their head so far back. But a schizo will have his nose so far up in the air that, you know, that about 5 raindrops would go ahead and drown the schizo if it was raining inside. And I've seen schizo niggers. Of course, this schizo nigger thought he was Jesus Christ. Since he was the biggest nigger, the other nigger had to go ahead and just be Jesus Christ when the other nigger wasn't present. But anyway, what else I had here? Well, pretty well Zog makes it up as it goes along here. You know what I mean? So, anyway, Mona, I mean, I still think you're sort of crazy myself here, but, hey, Mona, when this thing came up here, when they were fighting with old Jim Giles, and what happens is I impersonated you, Mona. I went ahead and put, you know, hi, I'm Mona Montgomery here, and Edgar Steele's no hero, and I went ahead and impersonated your name and showed your video. And they all said they thought you were nuts. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me, Mona, because, well, you know, first of all, I like doing that. You know, but see, Jim Giles. What annoyed me about Jim Giles is that for 3 weeks, he'd gone ahead and he'd finally done an interview with me. And he treated me pretty nicely. But hey, after 3 weeks, 3 full weeks of him trying to find Edgar Steele guilty because Edgar Steele scorned him a couple times, I pretty well got tired of it, and I wanted to hear him scream and holler about how he wanted to break Edgar Steele's neck, because Edgar Steele lived in a $250,000 house, and he just lived in a $10,000 trailer with his blue tick, you know, with his blue tick hound dogs. And, I mean, the thing, you know, like Harold Covington, liked old Jim, you know, Jim Giles a lot better than I did. But he said that, you know, what happens is that Jim Giles has lost any connection with Reason. Well, I don't think he ever did have any connection with Reason. What I liked about Jim Giles is that when he was in his prime, he was sort of like the Dick Cavett of the white nationalist movement, in that Jim Giles, I don't know, I don't think Jim Giles has ever read a book in his entire freaking life. So he'd go ahead and ask questions, all innocent, and he was a very good interviewer, far better than I am. Far, far better than I am. It was, I mean, you know, if he had stuck to that here, but Jim Giles, I mean, shoot, here he is. He was on trial for his life against the lying nigger pig. And what happens is that he, unlike Edgar Steele, went ahead and, you know, and like Hal Turner, went ahead and played the game and got off here by being his own lawyer. Folks, there's some admirable things about Jim Giles, but his other thing is that Jim Giles is not able to think. He's not able to reason. He's not able to think ahead. He's just simply a tard who would go ahead and run from one thing to the other like a rhinoceros, and you had no idea where he was going to head off. But chances are you would be trampled in the rush. Did you understand that here? Okay. Well, Mona, everybody else thinks you're jealous, whether or not you have hormones or the rest here. Who's Joe Field? Joe Field had set up at, you know, around Kevin Alfred Strom. I don't know if you heard of Kevin Alfred Strom. He's a sort of little National Alliance weenie who looks sort of faggy. I don't think he was faggy. I don't even think he was guilty. But he's a weak character. And he pled guilty to having child porn and lusting over some little beanerette or something like that. And he pled guilty. You know, his first wife was a ding-dong Fruit Loop. And his second wife was a meth whore, you know, a lying bitch. And so I think he's actually guilty here. But he's a total wiener. And pretty well, Edgar Steele went ahead and denounced Kevin Alfred Strom. Well, okay. Joe Fields supposedly pled guilty to four counts of, there's this law to where you're not supposed to talk badly to little underage, you know, little twats here, and it got found out later that some other guy had been charged with that. He was a high school teacher who told this sophomore or something like that to wear a brassiere and not to wear a see-through blouse because, hey, you know, she wasn't going to school to show off her tits. She was there to learn something. Essentially, because he went ahead and talked frankly to her about that, he got charged with, what, harassing a child or something like that? And supposedly, Joe Fields supposedly went to these girls here and asked them if they wanted to star in a porn flick or something like that. And Joe Fields said, hey, I was innocent, but I couldn't afford to fight and fight and fight and fight and fight over this matter. And here's Edgar Steele says, well, you pled guilty. You pled guilty. You're a bad person. You pled guilty. You're a chomo. Well, I will kill all these chomos. Well, Edgar, why are you believing whatever the hell Zog tells you? I mean, my idea is to go ahead, you know, after what they did in my family, is to go ahead and round up the children of regime criminals, torture them into testifying against their parents. And unlike my grandson, you know, these criminals are going to go ahead and testify. Essentially, I'm going to go ahead and give them a choice. They can go ahead and plead guilty to treason and be skinned out alive, them and their entire families, or they can go ahead and suffer from pig-like testicle syndrome, then get skinned alive. Nothing to me. What you do, I mean, I've seen pigs. They have the notion that they can go ahead and destroy the little rule of law and the constipation, the bill of goods, and that somehow, when people come time to pay them back, they're going to go ahead and have special privileges here, and there's going to be a little rule of law to where I'm going to go ahead and prove to the pig's satisfaction that he's guilty. Just like I'm going to go ahead and prove to Eli James's satisfaction that, yes, he is a Jew, and to Brian Reel's satisfaction that he's a Mamzer. Well, no. You know, Iron Felix. Essentially, what happens is he's seen a pig who was real tough. Hey, most of you pigs don't last more than about 20 minutes after I go ahead and crank up the Model T and put the coil around, you know, magneto coil around your nuts here. But hey, you know, piggy, if you go ahead and last four days of skinning, that's fine with me. I got plenty of time. I don't think you can go ahead and last 4 days of skinning. And pretty well, that's the way I look at it. Hey, look, pig, you're guilty. Anybody who supports a pig, they're guilty. You go ahead and kill everybody, exterminate everybody who supports dog. Folks, I am a true believer in the Great Tribulation. Don't believe in this, quote, rule of law. I believe that regardless of what form of government you have, if you have a white nation, you will have a superior form of government, no matter what form of government is, whether it be an overt dictatorship or a democracy. To me, what is most important is what sort of people you are. If you're a white nation, you are going to have a relatively free nation where people are not going ahead snooping and spying and imposing Talmudic restrictions here. It doesn't really matter what sort of form of government we have. Folks, well, I think that representative democracy is far more degenerate than even government is far more degenerate than even an open democracy, because at least in a democracy, people have to go ahead and vote on the stuff here, whereas today, we just have a bunch of crooks who go ahead and, go to the voting machines. Essentially, it's just buy whatever you can, and essentially these so-called representatives don't represent anybody. You know, CF my little lawsuit against Obongo, to where I'm asking that these two laws about throwing people in jail and not letting them run for, public office, and, not allowing me to run for United States Senator or for governor, state or federal office, because I'm an open racist, and that political parties be allowed to go ahead and say, hey, you can't run, you're a racist. Well, okay. All right, yes, I'm a racist. I'm a quote, white supremacist. Yes, I think I'm superior to niggers and Jews and everybody else. And I believe that if you're a white supremacist like me and you're not being represented because no white supremacists are allowed, then guess what? You don't owe any taxes to any government, which will not allow us any say. And you certainly don't have to obey any laws other than the ones which are necessary to be obeyed in order not to be punished. Well, folks, this system is out to go ahead and destroy our entire race. And how we deal with Jews, with Mamzers, and with Uyghur race traitors, well, they won't like how they need to be dealt with. Essentially, they need to be sent screaming to hell. And pretty well, that is the reason I have so much problem with the bowel movement. Essentially, all it is just a game of let's pretend. Let's go ahead and bring some Mamzers. Let's go ahead and bring some niggers and some Jews, and let's pretend we're Christian identity. And oh, by the way, let's go ahead and pretend we can whine like pussies, and the Jews and the niggers and the rest are going to go ahead and give us a little white homeland where we can go ahead and essentially kick out the Jews and the niggers and live by ourselves. I mean, whether or not you like Harold Covington, there's a lot of people that don't like him, and the reason they don't like him is because, hey, he at least has a freaking idea, is that Harold Covington doesn't act like he's gone ahead and taken a big old sugar cube of LSD. He understands that Zog Babylon is not going to go peaceful into that cold, cruel night. Cold, dark, cruel night. Zog's going to have to be, sort of made to walk the plank. Well, the way I look at it is that I don't think what happens is that pretty well the white man can go ahead and destroy the current social order, and the survivors can go ahead and restore it, but they can only restore it as long as there are whites left here, and only among whites. democracy and representative government and rule of law is not something which goes ahead and translates to niggers and Jews and mamsers at all, only to whites. Okay? Well, I mean, yes. You know, maybe if, well, maybe if I ever do a YouTube here, I'll go ahead and, well, you can hatch. You can go ahead and hatch a fertile egg into a chicken. But you cannot go ahead, and hatch an egg once you broke it, once you scrambled it, once you go ahead and you fried it up. You cannot go ahead and hatch a chicken from that. You cannot hatch a chicken from a scrambled egg. Not a viable chicken at all. Can't do that. So folks, what are we going to do here now that the actual percentage of white people are going less and less and less? And in our bowel movement, what we have is we have plenty of Anglo-Mestizos, plenty of Mamsers, we have Jews, like Eli James and Finkelschini and McFag and McBragg, whatever you want to call them. How are we going to go ahead and destroy, how are you going to go ahead and have a white Christian Israelite regime with a bunch of Mamsers, with a bunch of Muzz, with a bunch of Jews? The answer is you're not. All these critters can do is just simply destroy what little remains. This young nephew of Roxy's, which came up there, I went ahead and gave him the Christian Identity spiel. And he thought he was being daring when he said, 88. He said, that means Heil Hitler. Yeah, well, I know what 88 means. But folks, you end up having to where people understand is that this current situation is not going to go ahead and last for very much longer. That they're not going to go ahead and get Social Security and the rest here. I'm looking at these here little Republicans talking about how they're going to have 999. Why, we have old Herman Cain. Why, he's the very top here. Why, good Lord, we're going to have a nigger. The Republicans are going to nominate a nigger to go ahead and fight against the Democratic nigger. So we're going to have nigger versus nigger. I mean, the closest thing I've seen is that here's old Romney. And August, he had 23%. In October, he has 23%. He's a, quote, front runner by a few points. How in the world, I mean, shoot. It's beginning to look that the nigger is going to be a two-termer here, just sort of like old Clinton. You know, just as long as we have a war with Iran first, okay? Well, the reason we have so few righteous white people being born is we have so few white people actually being white, being born. Well, most people don't want to talk about having, you know, no one wants to go ahead and be talking about the evil that they do. But when there's nothing but evil being done, what are we going to do here? Well, I'm going ahead looking at the chat here. I don't really know how to respond to some of it here. I mean, Mona has some notions here. And, maybe one of these days here, since she knows when the chat is, and Mona, I'm going to have another one on Sunday night at, 8 o'clock Central, which will be, 6 o'clock, California time on Sunday. And I'll go ahead and send you another invite, and maybe one of these times you can go ahead and call in. Okay? And you can go ahead and talk about, why you think the Wigger Whimper is, guilty. Now, I don't think the Wigger Whimper is, guilty at all. I think he's a Wigger Whimper. It seems to me he has not learned a dang thing. I mean, shoot, you have jailbirds who understand, they understand that Zog essentially does whatever the hell it wants to do. It's not bound by any law. It's essentially, Zog is just a bunch of criminals. The courts and the pigs are just nothing more than thieving criminals. And the criminals who are being charged are just simply criminals who, well, didn't have the benefit of a judge's robe or a legal degree or a badge to go ahead and cover their evil. In ancient Israel, an ordinary criminal was hung. If he went in and committed a capital offense, he was hung, but his children were not held, were not punished. But folks, in ancient Israel, a regime criminal went ahead and committed a crime, his whole family and anybody who supported him in the change of regime were put to death, and that's the way it was supposed to be done with Saul. Yahweh went ahead and punished the children of Israel for 3 years with a famine, where many starved because of what Saul had done. And then Saul's sons and his grandsons were hung for what Saul had done. And later on, during the time of Ahab, Saul's sons, or Ahab's sons, grandsons, family, were executed. Anybody who supported Ahab was fed to the dogs, or, you know, allowed to be fed by the birds. Anybody who went ahead and buried one of Ahab's regime criminals, they too were assumed to be on the side of Ahab, and they too and their families were put to death and not buried. And that's how things were run here. You were on the end of a losing regime, you end up losing your life, and you end up losing your family's life. And folks, that's the way it should be. Because if you're an ordinary criminal, your crime ends with you. But if you're a regime criminal who is going ahead and destroying the entire race, you and your entire family needs to be exterminated for that crime. In most cases, the worst pigs I've ever seen were ones which had a good deal of Mamzer in them. Critters who should not have been allowed in this country, allowed to breed in this country, and allowed to live in this country. They should have been understood as abominations and killed on sight. Instead, now they go ahead and they pretend to be white, and they're not white. And because there are so few whites, we have less and less and less of a white social order. Instead, what we have is what you expect from a Babylon, a mixed race, multicultural society, which is at war with itself, and which will go ahead and fall apart. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and end this segment of the Movement Turd. I'm not sure if I'll go ahead and do another one, but it looks like I seem to have got my second wind, and I'm going to have to go ahead and save the chat here. Make sure I have some room. So, hail victory, folks.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out God's hope. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Wise men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great, hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. Wise men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Wise men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. Wise men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Wise men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.